Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This is Ring of Honor superstar Nigel McGuinness, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Stay tuned, wankers.
Gentlemen, episode 98? Are we that close to 100 already?
Somehow.
It's fucking crazy. Welcome to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk. Toot toot! I am Dean Ambrose.
I'm Roman Reigns.
I am Seth Rollins.
Nice. There's our trifecta, the Shield, running ruckshod.
Running
amok.
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 Amok in your studio.
Whenever I hear the word muck, like, I always think of, like, somebody getting their boots stuck in mud, and like you hear that.
Because it's muck. That's what muck is.
Nice.
Isn't that muck?
I thought mucklucks were shoes.
You're so mucking stupid.
Ah, you mucking retard.
Yeah.
Oh, don't mind the word retard.
You'll be hearing it again.
Oh, quite a bit. Hey, we've got Tugboat Typhoon Shockmaster, Mr. Fred Ottman, on tonight.
Yes, we do.
But we've got some business to get to at the top of the hour.
Business.
We opened the show tonight with the new Shining Wizards Network kicker, buffer. What do they call that in the business?
I don't know.
Soundbite.
Soundbite.
Clip.
Fine.
We have started officially, and you can go there tonight on iTunes. You can go there at our new website. The Shining Wizards Network is up and running. We've got five great shows right now. It's swn.shiningwizards.com. You can get that right there. Check out the shows. We got our boy Phil Rea on board with Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We've got the Midnight Jory, our buddy Mike Norengonger down from Philly. And what's Adam's last name? I don't even
Henning.
Remember. Oh, it is Henning?
Yeah.
Why did
No that, relation.
Well, I was going to say, why did that slip my mind? Because there's no relation. Who else do we have on there? We've also got the Neckbreaker Boys, Neckbreaker Podcast, where it's heavy metal and wrestling and a whole lot of fucking drinking.
Yes, drunken times.
And as soon as these guys get their equipment together, we've also got a home for the Fallen Angels.
Oh, yes.
Dante,
do we ever.
Kanzer, and Krim, the Gideons. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. But in just a little while ago, Eddie and I were speaking, we've actually got a sixth show that we're adding to the network.
Yes, we do.
Do you want to spill the beans on that one?
The show is called Pro Wrestling 101. Hosted by a friend of the show, Mr. PJ Polacco. Wow.
A.K.A.
Justin Credible.
So Justin Credible's got this new web series that he's doing on YouTube, and we are the exclusive home of that show in podcast form, so you could take PJ wherever you go.
Bring your PJs.
You
never know.
Bring your PJs.
Wait, so I'm still out of the loop on this. This is what is this, the network thing?
The Shining Wizards Network.
Yeah.
We are now six shows strong, and I'm not the one drinking tonight.
No, you're
Holy
not.
Shit.
You're just a stuttering, disgusting
mess. I got cake in my mouth.
Oh, God, no. No. So that's what it is, Kev. It's a network.
I really do have cake.
Of wrestling friends.
There
yes.
you go. All right.
And it's more than wrestling. Like, you know, you check out the Midnight Jury. They do a lot of horror stuff, pop culture stuff.
Yeah, you get
check
your
out
fix.
Neckbreaker's got all kinds of metal bands on all the time. Those guys are fucking crazy.
Phil Rea.
Excuse me.
Player.
Phil Rea will always take you back in the time machine, which is what I love about his show. It's always old school shit where you're like, motherfucker, I remember that.
That's when shit was good.
Memory lane. Fallen Angels, we're not too sure what the format's going to be yet.
We'll just let them figure it out.
I just told them, I said, just turn on the mic, press record, and just let the magic happen.
Yeah, we had such good feedback from their last show that, you know, we might as well give them an open forum.
Give them an open forum. And that show and the Midnight Jury, they're going to be exclusively, well, Midnight Jury's like PJ show, it's a YouTube show, but their exclusive home on iTunes and on Stitcher, by the way. The Stitcher feed is not live yet, but at least right now on iTunes, you can download some of the recent episodes of all these shows. You pump in that feed, you're going to get 5 episodes already. It's all good to go.
And we have Kevin Garifo here tonight.
Kevin Garifo in the house.
Oh,
on the third mic, playing the part of Matt Bowman.
I hope that wasn't one of the big announcements.
That's the second announcement.
That's
you're
a
here.
Letdown.
You're here. You're
Mr.
here.
Kevin Garofalo.
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 All
so
right.
We have a lot.
Any relation to Janine Garofalo?
Garofalo.
Oh, God.
Oh, is that it?
Ugh.
Sorry.
She's just horrible to look at.
She's all right. Come on.
No, she's not.
I'd throw her one.
No, I'd throw
fuck
her
Mary
off
Kill?
Something.
I'd fuck Janine Garofalo. There you go.
Well, it depends on who she's up there with.
Okay, let's play that real quick. Janine Garofalo.
You got to go 90s, ladies.
Janine Garofalo.
Sandra Bernhardt.
Oh, God.
Sandra
really?
Bernhardt.
Sandra Bernhardt. And Roseanne Barr.
There it is.
There you go.
Ooh.
Eddie.
Oh, God. Now I have to fuck Garofalo. Now I have to.
Again, that's not me.
Oh, God, I snorted.
Now I have to bang
her.
That's
the line of the night. We're only six
her
minutes
big
in.
Moonhead. Her big, stupid fucking moonhead.
She did have quite the dome.
She has a dome. Oh, that big, depressed and sad moon face.
Hi, Eddie. Put your penis in me.
Hi. I'm so depressed and gothic or grungy. Look at me. I'm fucking... She looks dirty.
Her face looks like a vagina.
And then Sandra Bernhardt. She's like... Isn't she like a lesbian?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
No, but I would marry her. Just
really?
Because... Yeah,
she's a lesbian. She'll bring friends home.
Bring friends home.
Wow.
Hopefully they're quality friends, not like her friends from the show Roseanne.
She'll be bringing home Roseanne Barr.
No, she'll bring home Crystal from Roseanne.
Actually, do you want to switch out Roseanne with Laurie Metcalf from Roseanne? Or she's not much of a comedian, though.
No, I like her.
Jackie's fine.
Jackie's
all right. We can't
right.
put her in then. It's going to skew everything.
I'd have to kill Roseanne. Just she's fucking ear-piercing.
Okay, Kevin?
Jesus.
Kevin! Kevin!
Actually, her. Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? What's her name? The mom?
The mom from Home Alone is the same mom from Beetlejuice.
She's not a comic. She's an actress, though, but I always had a thing for her.
All right, well, let's not
you
change
the
subject.
You know what? Subject. Yeah, yeah. She had a little something there.
Catherine something or other, wasn't it?
Something or other. She did have, she had a little something.
That pig.
You know who else had a little something that you wouldn't really think much of, but when you watch her back, you're like, you know, she had a little something.
Who's that?
Annette Bening, the American Beauty wife. She had a little something.
Yeah. She was,
excuse me,
I'm an overly
regarding Henry's wife, too.
She was also, Dirty Harry, not Dirty Harry, Dick Tracy's wife, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had a little something.
Until Madonna tried to bang him. Remember Madonna? She wanted to be in every fucking movie and everything.
Ugh. Sure.
I mean, you get one big hit with Desperately Seeking Susan with Roseanne Arquette. Was that her in that?
Sure.
Was it her?
I guess so.
She won an Oscar for Evita.
She did.
No, she did not.
Yeah, pretty
for
sure
what, the did. Song?
No, she was Evita.
I know, but she did not win an Oscar for that. Come on, you got to
sure
be fucking
did.
Wrong.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
That movie ate, and I saw the play, and the play was worse than the movie. The only reason people go see it is because Ricky Martin's in it.
I think she won Best
Actress
for Evita.
That's the only reason
Evita.
I went to go see it.
Ricky Martin was in it? In the play?
He does the narrator
did
part.
Did he play Evita too?
Yeah.
Living Evita Loca?
Oh!
Hello.
Wow.
There you go.
All
Show's
right.
Over.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Moving on. I guess we'll talk about wrestling since shit has happened.
Okay.
In the past
all right.
Week.
Then let's just get the 800-pound gorilla out of the way. TNA was there. Okay. Let's talk about Raw.
Yeah.
All right. Raw. Well, there was things that happened before Raw in the life of the Shining Wizards.
Oh, do tell.
There was a PWS show with Disco Inferno.
A Pubis show?
A Pubis show with Disco Inferno. I had the privilege of vendoring Disco Inferno and hanging out with him for a couple of hours.
Did we talk about that last week?
You know what? Did we?
I'm not sure. For some reason, I've heard the story.
We did. We did talk about last week. Never mind. We had
okay.
a show. Fuck
all
that.
Right, so we talked to Eddie talked to Disco, and they gave each other hand jobs, allegedly. And
it was fine.
Excuse me. That's for that guy that fucking hates us. Anyway,
and then on,
continue.
On Saturday, I had the privilege, that's the word I'm looking for, privilege of trekking down to Hazlitt, New Jersey.
Now, this is the story I want
to
hear.
To stop by and pick up my buddy, PJ Polacco.
Yeah.
You mean Wrestling 101's PJ Polacco.
Yes, sir, Mr. Justin Credible.
You mean exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, PJ Polacco.
Oh, it's going to be as bad as the app, isn't it? All this pushing.
It's the first night. I got to get it out there.
I'm already sick of it, and I don't want to listen to it. I don't even care. Let's cancel the fucking network.
We already have 13 subscribers, and it hasn't even hit yet.
That's because there's 13 of us. There's like three right here now. That
I just
found
out about
10.
It, so you can't even count me.
Well, it's us. I'm sure Overweight Larry checked it out.
Break the fourth wall.
You know, tickles.
Dude, Overweight Larry has some great musings on his Facebook page, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has a lot to say. So anyway, I drive down to PJ's. We hang out for a bit, and you know, it was cool. It was like surreal for a second. I pull up to his house, and he just comes out and waves me in. And for a split second, I'm like, "Holy shit, that's cool. that is cool." And then he just became a normal dude after that.
Yeah.
You know, and then we drove from Hazlitt all the way to where was this fucking place?
Oakland?
Yes, Oakland, New Jersey.
You're welcome.
Like a good hour and 45 minute trek.
That was my Perry Saturn impression, by the way.
Yeah, and man, PJ's got a lot of good stories. It's hard to believe that he's been in the business this long and he's only 39.
Dude,
he's only 39?
Yeah, 39. Dude, he told us at WrestleFest that he told us at WrestleFest that when he turned 21, he was celebrating with like Triple H and
Scott
Shawn
Hall.
Michaels and Scott Hall, like all those guys. Like, how crazy is that to be turning 21 in the business and hanging out with those fucking guys?
Yeah, that's nuts. Insane. That's insane. And we were talking on the way, and I brought up Scott Hall. We were talking about Scott Hall.
Ayo.
And all of a sudden, he just goes, "You know, let me just give him a call real quick. I haven't talked to him in a while."
Oh, nice.
So he calls Scott Hall, and they're talking on the phone, and he gets off the phone. He's laughing. He's like, "Scott Hall just said the funniest thing." He goes, "All the..." This is funny.
Scott Hall voice.
He goes, "All the cool guys are getting sober."
You know what, though? Good for them. I mean,
yeah.
PJ has been doing DDP yoga. Looks fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, he does.
Scott Hall's down at the compound, the accountability house.
Yeah.
Jake has been rocking it down there for months now.
I know.
It's so great to see these guys. You know, so many tragedies came out of their era.
I know. And they could have easily have been tragic.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
With the guys they were running with? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But it was fun. I mean,
and not even too long ago. We're talking about back then. Not even like maybe 2 years ago. It could have been. You know,
it could have
been
any of them.
Yeah.
Any of them. They were all in dire straits. It was. Yeah. It was a bad place for all of them. But now they're all doing well. PJ's 7 months clean and sober.
There you go.
And I can definitely, you know, confirm that, because not one drink, not one drug on the whole trip. You know, it was great.
Well, thanks there, Bill W.
Yes. Not one drag and not one drug.
Holy shit.
And he had a match against Dan Moff.
The Broequa Beast?
Yes.
I bet you the promo he cut was awesome.
Yeah, he didn't cut a promo. He didn't cut a promo.
Are you serious?
Couldn't cut a promo?
How could Dan Moff not cut a promo?
Oh, Dan Moff.
Neither of them cut a promo. But he was the main event, and it was a solid match.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
It was a good time.
Who else worked that show, by the way?
Oh, Lance Ayanai.
Okay.
Samu's son worked the show. Oh, Style and Finesse worked the show.
The Damien Dragons?
The Little Rybacks.
The Little Rybacks.
The Little Rybacks worked the show.
I wonder if they saw the theater yet.
Who cares? A lot of the guys that you would see at PWS and local feds. You know.
Awesome. Good time?
Very good time.
A real good time probably hanging out with PJ the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. He's awesome.
That must have been tits, man.
It was.
That's
it was
so awesome.
Cool.
Like, all right, yeah, like... We know PJ. We've known him for a while, but it's still
just incredible. It's
yeah,
still like,
and it's like that. It's like that great feeling, like, you know, like it's like this is cool. Like, this is not an aspect of the business that, you know, that we see all the time,
right?
Or you know, even in a long time, like, you know, you've worked, I've worked, but still, like, to be around guys like that, like, it's still like that kid in the candy store feeling, like, holy shit, I can't believe this.
It'll
is
never
happening.
Go away. I don't
no,
think.
It never.
It'll never.
You
go
cannot
away.
Grow that.
Yeah.
No. I'm sure there's guys that are in the business now. Like I bet you even John Cena fucking meets guys and he gets that feeling.
Probably, yeah, I'm sure.
It's nuts.
I'm sure. And we were just, you know, shooting the shit about everything. But when we talked about wrestling, I mean, it's incredible how passionate he still is.
Oh, yeah.
About it, and how much of a fan, you know, he still is, and how much of a difference he wants to make still.
You can hear it in his debut episode of Wrestling 101, which will be debuting on the Shining Wizards Network this weekend.
Holy hi-yo. Shit. Oh, my God.
SWN.ShiningWizards.com.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I'm sorry,
sir.
Eddie. You must want to fucking hate me. But speaking
I
of
want
like,
to hate you.
Want to.
Well,
the want is exceeded by need.
Okay, so then let's turn to something that Eddie actually liked on Monday.
I liked Raw.
Wow.
Kevin, did you see Raw?
I actually did get to watch Raw. It was great. And actually, Payback was right before Raw, and that was a great show, too.
You saw Payback.
I did not see Payback.
Please don't Pinky either. Sanchez the mic. Get closer.
But yeah, Pinky. But I heard Payback.
You could take
fantastic.
It off there if you're more comfortable.
Take it all off.
Yes.
What?
Take your PJs off.
No, we're good. We're good. Payback, I read, was a fantastic show, and they followed up with the Raw that I actually watched straight through. Stanley Cup Finals was on. Raw was on. I was watching Raw.
Priorities, son. Yeah, priorities.
It was just an all-around great show. I don't think we talked about it.
Yeah.
There's not one thing that I found wrong about the show.
No, I liked it. And a lot of people were bitching about Stephanie. And at first, I'm like, yeah, why she have to be there? But just having her in the ring with the Divas Champion elevates the Divas Champion.
Because they're all so terrible.
Yeah, but that segment fell apart, though.
Yeah, I mean,
like you know what fell apart? Caitlyn's top fell apart.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah, nipple.
Oh, they blacked it out. Did they black it out where you were? They blacked it out for a second. Not the actual nipple, but the TV actually went black for a second.
Oh, no. I DVR'd it and rewound it and paused it. Okay. I was like, that's a
where
nipple.
I was watching it, I don't know if it was a coincidence or not, but...
Well, you were at the hat?
Yeah.
Well,
it was the only TV in the bar that had that went like that during that. So they just tried, I guess, to
not on
prevent
mine.
It, but...
Not on my TV. Yeah. I saw that nipple.
Eddie has better TV than the hat.
I saw Caitlyn's tit.
Everyone has a better TV than the
nipple.
Hat.
Nipple. Big old nipple.
Nipply.
Yeah, but I guess that segment did kind of fall flat. But still, I mean, she was in the ring with Stephanie McMahon.
For a Diva segment, I thought it was okay. I mean, what else have they been doing? And you look, and when they all came out on the stage, look who was up there.
I know.
There's
nothing.
There's no one. Layla was the best person that they had, and Natalia, that was it. Like,
yeah,
but, the Brodus Clay chicks, whatever.
Yeah, but that one Funkadactyl is really talented. The one
oh,
really
yeah,
is.
Flojo?
The one from Tough Enough?
Yes.
The one from Tough Enough?
Flippy Doo. She throws a great dropkick.
Flojo.
You know, Flojo was on Hollywood Squares, and then a week later she was dead.
Flojo's dead.
We're talking a lot of death.
Yeah, I know. We'll get into more death later.
Yeah, you know what? We could talk about a certain death, but we want you guys to hear our Fred Ottman conversation thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Which we didn't speak to him yet.
No,
we'll speak
no,
to him later.
That's still to come in the future.
So we're breaking kayfabe.
I read that Daniel Bryan. I don't know if this is a work.
Oh, okay.
But
this is
that
good.
Injury was legit, and he was supposed to go over Orton.
Yeah.
Clean. Well, he kind of did, and that's how he got injured.
That's what
he kind of flew right over him.
Took me a second there.
But he had a sticker.
Would you have called him Flying Bryan?
No, because he survived.
Oh. A boo.
Boo. But go. Yeah, man. And then I heard, I don't know if you guys read this, that after the match he blew up at Triple H.
Well, they reported that on the WWE app. It was like a legit shoot from what I read, but then they had it on the app and turned it right into a ready-made storyline. They had an article about it and everything on the WWE app. So they're going to run with it. And,
they're going to run with it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So worked shoot? You think it's all like just a bullshit story?
It could have been blown out of proportion. It might have been an argument that turned into an angle.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
what
I think is going to happen.
I think consensus is people are happy that Brian stood up to for something that he thought
that's
was
ballsy.
Right, and that Triple H came back to him. And Triple H, I think, actually respected him because they talked it out and they worked it out, you know?
Of course. Well, of course he's going to respect him. Brian's over as fuck.
And he's a hugger.
He is a hugger.
So. Yes, they can hug it
they
out.
They hugged it out.
You know what was cool about Raw?
Here we go.
Everything made sense.
Yes,
there
yes,
weren't
yes,
any
yes.
weird random matches or anything like everything. Everyone had a place.
No loose ends.
Everything made sense.
Wait, did Sheamus take on?
Yeah, that was one thing I had a problem with.
But he lost.
Yeah, he did lose.
Yeah,
but he should have lost.
But did he look good in the loss?
No,
he was a schoolboy.
No, it was like a quick out of nowhere schoolboy roll up from Sandow.
Yeah, man, I'm not a fan of the handicap matches where the one beats the two. I'm just not.
But that didn't happen, thank God. Thankfully. I'm not a fan of Sheamus right now.
There's nothing for them to get us excited about right now.
No.
He's the pre-show guy.
Yeah, he's the pre-show guy.
You know what would be awesome? Sheamus gets a tan, and he spikes his hair, and he becomes the new fucking woo-woo-woo, and he gets over like gangbusters, and he wins the championship.
That would be awesome.
That would be tits and a half.
Broski!
Broski boot. Yes, yes.
I'm a broski, fella.
Fella. I'm not into the Sheamus, really. I fast forward through the Sheamus.
Yeah.
Through the Sheamus.
I fast forward through the Sheamus.
I saw someone had like the best meme ever when they were doing Sheamus and Randy Orton versus like the world. It was like the powers of plane, like Randy Boredom and Snorlord and the Barbarian.
That's awesome.
The Snorlord and the Barbarian.
Snorlord.
But yeah, Sheamus is he's just in limbo right now. He's which a lot of guys kind of are,
yeah,
or were. Now they seem to be picking up the pace a little bit. But
I think from what I read, Vince actually blamed the product for having shit ratings lately instead of competition and everything like that. So I think with him and Stephanie and Triple H having more of a role, maybe they're more hands on now with the creative staff.
I hope. Well, I hope Triple H is, anyway.
At least.
Yeah.
Somebody. Yeah. Somebody's got to pay attention.
So, do you know what? The second, I think, biggest moment of the night was the whole Alberto Del Rio explaining himself leading up to the return of CM Punk.
Yeah.
I would think that that's the second biggest moment of the night, because that leads to ADR explaining how he stood up for the people and the people shit on him. And that was a great heel promo.
It was
because
fantastic.
it was rooted in fact.
Yes. Yeah.
It was rooted in the fact that he got fucked over the night after WrestleMania.
The crowds didn't respond to him.
The crowds were cheering the shit out of Dolph Ziggler, who was a known cheater and an opportunist.
Yeah, it was great. You know what I saw a lot in that? A lot of Gino Caruso? A lot of Bret Hart anti-American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Bret Hart anti-American.
And
it's funny because it coincides with a double turn, which Bret Hart also pulled off with Steve Austin.
With Stone Cold.
And it's heel 101. Like, I remember... shit, Michael Hayes would say it. If a heel has the facts to build on, he believes what he says to be true, that's a great heel.
That's a great heel.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's how you get the heel over.
Now, my question is, do they have to turn Ricardo too? Do they have to?
I know, right?
Like, because he's like the Santino non-wrestler. Everyone loves him. Like, could they, like, if you really want to make Alberto Del Rio a heel, Beat the shit out of Ricardo and have Ricardo
can work. That's the funny thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll do that and it'll lead to a match eventually. They could work the Ted DiBiase Virgil gimmick.
It just seems too soon, and it seems too. The only thing about it that I do have, I guess, not even a complaint because I do love it, was that it was kind of too soon. I don't think we had enough time to adjust to Alberto Del Rio as a face for a while, and also that I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
Ricardo.
Just beat the shit out of Ricardo. Boom. Heel heat.
Yeah, right away.
Right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
true.
One guy's opinion.
It's a good opinion, though.
And he doesn't need him.
No.
What is Ricardo? I mean, I guess to cheat to win, I guess, to. But other than that.
So, this leads to ADR calling himself the best, which leads to the return of CM Punk.
Yes.
And it leads to a match.
But, in the meantime, CM Punk tells Paul Heyman,
"Hit the skids.
I'm going to be a Heyman guy forever, but I don't need you."
Yeah, well, that's a face turn right there.
Plot thickens.
Yes.
Later in the night, what happens in the ADR Punk match? What did that result go to? Punk wins, go to sleep?
Count out.
Count out.
Which is good. Which is good.
He had to go to sleep. He rolled out. Punk couldn't get to him to bring him back in because he was still hurt from like the arm breaker, I think.
Yeah. And that's excellent because I did not want to see ADR lose clean because he just won the world title. So great finish.
And then,
oh, that shit surprised everybody.
Dun, 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 dun,
awesome.
Dun, dun. But you knew it was coming.
It surprised me when it happened, but
yeah,
it's not surprising me that it happened.
No, yeah, when the music hit you, I was just like, what the fuck?
Like,
and then
already?
it was like, okay, fucking Punk stuck it to Heyman. Now he's going to get his just desserts.
And I like how Brock picked up the microphone to say something.
Yeah, that was cool. That I've never seen before.
Yeah.
See,
and then just dropped it and
shit,
hit the move.
It wasn't like the bullshit, like handshake, that sort of deal.
Yeah.
I didn't do that like what he did with Cena. He was just like, all right, I'm going to talk. Nope.
Nope. I'm just going to fuck
that. That was the good shit right there.
That was awesome.
But not the best moment of the night, in my opinion.
I think I know where you're going.
Best moment of the night? Mark Henry's retirement.
That was great.
Dude, you can give Mark Henry shit for every other thing in his career, but Monday night, dude, you can fucking see it. He was on. He knew the business. He knew how to work the crowd. And he was the fucking monster that he always was and always should have been.
After shedding some tears.
Dude, fucking like the emotion.
It was
so good.
Like he was like Shakespearean trained.
Yes.
I had a buddy of mine text me. He's like, that's how like he just got finished, I guess, the DVR'd Raw. And he's like, that's what Raw should be like every week. And I'm like, you're right. He's like, even Mark Henry, man, I didn't see that coming at all. And, like, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I kind of did. I think we all did.
Yeah,
everyone in this room, I think, kind of did. But he was like, if you can get that, like, the casual fan to, like, actually believe what Mark Henry was doing. And this guy's not a kid. He's 25 years old.
Right. If you don't know.
And he just, and it was just like, that's what, like, all right, well, they succeeded with that then.
And they kicked off a great feud.
Yeah.
And that's a feud that I don't mind because I don't think it'll hurt Henry working with Cena.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even have the expectation like Henry needs to win. Like, with Ryback, to me, in my mind, I was like, you know, Ryback needs to fucking win this.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on Raw.
You're right. But, like, when I look at Mark Henry, like, I look at him as a monster, as a threat. But if when he loses, it's not going to affect him at all. He's still going to be a fucking monster.
Yes.
And it's not going to hurt his credibility. Ryback needed to win. Mark Henry doesn't. That's the difference between an established monster and a monster that they shove down your throat.
Ryback should have been working with the U.S. title or IC title in a long program, I think, for a while to really establish himself as a face.
You know, if they weren't so hell-bent on getting the belt off of Punk, getting it to Rock, getting it to Cena, we could have had some fucking different booking a few, like, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
I know. But I got to give it to Cena. That was a good promo.
You're right.
You know, he was fantastic. He wasn't a goofy little, you know, douchebag.
No, which he gets a lot of shit for. But no, everything was, dude, Raw was fucking amazing. And
it was.
People on Facebook, all right, I'm gonna be the wah-wah again. Why do you guys watch it if you don't like it? You know why we watch it? Because we're fans of the business and we want to see it succeed and we want it to be great. Nights like Monday, that's why we watch.
That's
wrestling.
Why, because you never know when you're gonna fucking get a good show.
Amazing.
You never know.
And you never refuse to not give it the benefit of the doubt. You'll give it as many chances as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Because you just love it.
Yeah. It's like that hot ex-girlfriend that cheats on you all the time, but she's so fucking hot. You hope she turns around.
It's like the Mets.
I will lick her socks.
I will lick her socks all day.
Jesus.
All day.
Yep.
Ugh.
I will do her laundry, but lick her socks first.
Yes.
After you jizz in them?
No.
I'll go there.
He goes, no.
I'll do that after it and just give him back to her.
Call me, Tickle.
Just put him back in her drawer.
Yeah.
Call me, Tickle.
I just close the drawer and, like, whistle as you walk away.
No jizz in his socks. Not today.
La, 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 la.
So, yeah, Raw was awesome.
You want to take a break on that high note? And we'll talk to Mr. Fred Tugboat Thomas, Typhoon, U.S. Steel.
Master Otman. Steel.
Yeah, man.
Uncle Freddy.
Because Uncle Freddy
isn't
there.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. You don't even know how
Uncle
bad.
Uncle Freddy is
chomping
there.
At the bit to do that.
Uncle Freddy's dead. Uncle Freddy's Martha!
Now you want to kill me, you motherfucker? I'll break your fucking legs. You killed Uncle Freddy.
The guy goes, who the hell is Uncle Freddy?
Who the hell is Uncle Freddy?
Is it Uncle Freddy?
We'll be right back with Mr. Fred Ottman.
Toot toot.
Ah! It's the Dick Breaker Podcast, pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast, wrestling headlines and metal news in your fucking face, guest interviews, while your hosts, Brian and John, the least metal names you'll ever come across, get completely shit-faced. New episodes every 2 weeks, because they're busy every other week drinking booze and fucking bitches on neckbreaker.net. Follow them on Twitter or Facebook at NB Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the Shining Wizards Hotline, a true legend in professional wrestling. He's been all over the world. You might know him as Tugboat. You might know him as Typhoon. You definitely know him as the Shockmaster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Fred Ottman.
Yes.
Hey.
There it is.
Classic.
Tugboat, the man himself. How you doing tonight, Tugboat?
Excellent, brother. Excellent.
Thanks for joining us, man. This is a big deal. A lot of our fans are very excited to hear from you. We're looking forward to hearing a lot of great stories from your career. And I want to get started real quick. I just got to ask you, were you always a fan of professional wrestling, or is it something you just kind of fell into?
No, man, I love it. Grew up watching it here in Florida. And the guy that actually trained me was probably one of my favorite characters growing up as a kid, Greg Malenko.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Excellent. And that's where you started. Yeah, you started in Florida Championship Wrestling, correct?
No. Actually, my first territory was company called Texas All-Star in San Antonio, Texas. It was a company that was bought up by a gentleman named Fred Baron from Tully Blanchard's dad. He used to be Southwest Championship Wrestling.
Okay.
And then from there, how long were you in that territory for?
I was there about 2 years, maybe between 2 and 2.5. The guy he used to promote for, before he got his own territory, he used to promote the southern part of the Texas for world-class wrestling. And he actually, while I was there, I went through about four different bookers. And when I was there, he actually was one of the best. When cable just really was starting to come into its own, and he was the first wrestling show, he landed USA Network.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, what a great loss. I mean, he knew what he had now.
Right.
Back then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we were actually doing TV live from Gillies in Pasadena, Texas, which is outside Houston.
So that's like ahead of the time. I didn't know that actually they had wrestling on USA before primetime wrestling was on years before.
Yeah, Vince got it after that. You know, he picked it up.
Wow, I mean, All-American,
you know,
right
before he was doing that. And he was working in conjunction with Saturday Night Live, and they were doing their once-a-month live show on that network.
Oh, on NBC, was it?
Yeah, NBC.
Yeah,
they would do, in the same slot as Saturday Night Live, once a month, they would do WWF wrestling.
Right, right, the main event. And when did you move over to Florida Championship Wrestling?
Shoot, it was a while down the line. It was when the revamp of Florida Championship Wrestling. I came back. I had been in Portland, Oregon, working for Billy Jack Haynes. He was trying to, I was there for about 8 months with a couple other guys from my area, and he was trying to do his own territory up there, and it wound up, he had a bunch of problems, stuff like that, unfortunately, because Billy Jack was a nice guy. But,
when you mentioned Billy Jack, all three of us did the full Nelson, by the way, when you mentioned Billy Jack. in stereo, full Nelson.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. See, you interrupted the man, and now...
No. I came back from there. When I left Texas, I went to Tennessee and worked there for about two and a half years with Jerry Lawler and Jeff Jarrett's dad. And then I went... I actually went to Pensacola for a short while. My grandfather wound up dying, and I... took a hiatus for about 8 months. And that's when I came back down to Florida. That's when I got involved with Florida Championship Wrestling, which eventually became, I think it was PWF.
Okay. Now, these territory days, man, this is the stuff I think is lacking in wrestling right now. That gives you a chance to just travel the country, and whatever basically area you go into, you're a brand new face. No one's overexposed. So you can be a heel in, say, one state, travel across the country and be a face in another. Do you think that's something that needs to come back, the territories?
I thought it was really, really cool. It's like minor league baseball, okay? It's developmental, like they're doing with, like Nexus is with WWE. And now the old territory that they had, which was Ohio Valley, is now the other company's developmental.
Right.
Okay, and so, you know, that way there's guys are out there getting live, you know, 5-6 times a week, plus training and everything else, so it's kind of a really good thing. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, the old territory used to be like, you know, 2-3 states, you know what I'm saying? They were all over the country, so it would be good because they would be developing really good talent. It would be a great feeder, just like in pro baseball, you know?
Yeah.
And not unlike arena football for pro ball, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
I mean, just, you know, junior A hockey up in Canada. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely.
It would be definitely, I think it would be a really, really good thing. It would bring more, you know, I think it'd bring a lot more light back to pro wrestling itself.
I agree.
You know, because there's a lot of independents out there that really kind of put a bruise as far as how they run their businesses in their local areas, nothing against them. I mean, at least there's some guys underground trying to run shows, give guys a place to work, and trying to break in that. There's a lot of guys that are just, you know, on their own and not really getting schooled correctly. There's a lot of guys out there that are taking guys' money that don't really know how to train guys.
Yeah, so there's
fans,
a lot of
that. You could be a wrestler, you know, and they make them a whole bunch of promises, and these marks that are out there, you know, you get conned into paying money to a guy, get a chance to get in the ring, you know, and they're working for free, and you know, or, you know, maybe 10, 15 bucks, if, you know. And it's horrible, man. And then those guys get attitudes because they're, like, wrestling on shows. And you go into a locker room and oftentimes, you know, the few that I've gone through, you know, the guys are, I sit back and watch, and I'm not being judgmental, but I mean, you know, some of the guys are legends in their own mind.
Yeah. That's
true. You know what I'm saying? And not really respectful. And, you know, they should be happy, you know, to have the opportunity to, you know, and give it a 1,000% when you're out there in front of those people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the old days, no matter, you know, when I was being broke in, you know, you work, I mean, with your whole heart in front of 10 people as you would in front of 10 million people, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And give them the best possible show and performance that you can, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
You're right.
You cut your teeth. You got to show some boxing.
It's true. I mean, it's funny now. It seems like it's really it's too easy almost to break into professional wrestling. When I was growing up, I don't think, you know, none of my friends knew. No one knew how to go about doing it. It seemed like a big secret. It seemed like something that was difficult to do. But now it seems like there's a school everywhere. There's shows everywhere. And it just seems like it's just too easy to get into. And now anyone can, quote unquote, be a wrestler. And a lot of these guys that are on the independents right now really shouldn't be wrestlers.
Well, you know, I appreciate every opportunity I've ever gotten and people that have taken their time, you know, they were already established and I was working in territories from the get-go and guys were taking their time to help me, man, you know, and talk to me. You know, and I respected them very, very much. You know, it's like walking into a locker room and nobody's shaking. You know, I would always shake everybody's hand in the locker room and, you know, and introduce myself and you know, And after a match, you know, I mean, I hate to give too much away, you know, but I mean, you know, I was grateful for having the opportunity to be there with those guys in the ring.
Right.
You know, and as green as I was, you know, and there's a lot of guys like that out there, you know, that accidentally hurt guys. And, you know, you're working, you know, 250 to 300 days a year as an on-the-road pro wrestler, you know. And, I mean, it's hard on your body and, it's planes, trains, and automobiles, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's funny that you said that you were, you know, pretty green because you started wrestling in what, 1987-ish?
Yeah, 85, 87, around there.
Okay.
I mean, I've only got a few brain cells left in my head, but I can't remember too much. Ask my wife.
We'll help you along. We'll help you
along. Correct me, 85. Where are you? I started in 85.
85.
He just asked his
for
wife.
For all records, yeah. She is the master.
Yeah, you might want to keep her there. Keep her next to you for this interview, just in case. It's funny because you said...
Hey, you know, that's my partner, man. She is the best.
That's awesome.
The best thing I ever happened. It's my second wife. And she's phenomenal. I knew her 26 years ago, 27 years ago. And when I wrestled in Tennessee, and she was my pal there, okay? She had two great sons and a wonderful daughter, and she, you know, another good man upstairs, brought her back in my life a couple of years ago. It'll be our second wedding anniversary coming this year.
I'm
so newlywed, man.
Congratulations, you know? Man. That's awesome. Good.
You know, it's a cool thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's cool that you have her around to remind you of your past glory. And what I wanted to get into was you started, say, 1985. Only four short years later, you're in the World Wrestling Federation when the WWF is bigger than ever. And you are given first you came in as a heel for a little bit, right, with Slick, I was reading, for like a good minute.
They brought me in. I came from right from Florida because WCW and WWF had called me at the same time. I had just gotten back from my first tour over trip overseas to Austria, working for Otto Wanz. I went there to work with him. I was there for about 10 days. When I came back to the States, they came back and they told me that Steve Kern, Mike Graham, Gordon Solie, who was the announcer down here, and I wanted to say Dusty too, because he was still here, and they met with me and told me, you know, that both companies had interest in me. But, you know, they gave me the, you know, star for me, and they were really good. I was really, really lucky. Like I said again, you know, been lucky with everybody I've ever had a chance to work with and be around, you know.
Yeah.
Learned a lot of life lessons and stuff. And they tried to, you know, they talked to me about the whole thing and everything. But, you know, the ultimate decision is yours, Fred, to go, like, you know, you decide what you want to do, you know. And I went with WWF, and, you know, I mean, it was no disrespect to WCW. I mean, it's just from the time I broke into business where I, you know, wanted to go, you know, maybe it was jumping the gun, maybe I should have went to school first, got more grooms, but, you know, I had the opportunity to go out there, and I went.
Yeah, and you took it.
With my steel man, the big steel man, which I wrestled for, and they had me up there, you know, first, second matches for probably 6-8 months until they came up with a gimmick and they called me in and had a meeting, developmental, and, you know, asked me, and told me about this Taylor gimmick and asked me, you know, if I wanted, you know, would I, you know, be comfortable doing it. And I mean, they talked to me at some length about the whole deal and everything. And I was like, you know, I mean, it sounds, you know, I'm like those guys, you know, whatever you want me to do, you know, I'll make it, you know, I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, man, a cross between Popeye and Brutus. And I'm saying, oh, I love, you know, me, I watch cartoons still. Okay. I'm a big kid. You know what I'm saying? So I read comic books, cartoons, you know, video games. I mean, I like all that stuff, man. I'm going to be a kid to the day I die and don't have a breath in my body.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm like, you know, this sounds like a fun gimmick. You know, it's me. All I got to do is go out and be me.
Yeah.
You know, goofy, unorthodox, clumsy, that's me.
And it worked out. It worked out. They,
you know, it's like, you know, it worked out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they had
worked
a couple different things. I remember being in Pennsylvania, and Strongbow was the agent there with Rene Goulet. And we were up, it was a spot show at a hockey arena there. And what a rib, Strongbow pulls a rib. Hey, the office wants you to go out there and sing, you know that song, when the moon hits the sky like a big pizza pie?
That's Amore. Yes.
It's bad enough, it's like I should be pushing a gondola boat. With a striped shirt on and white pants, you know. You know what I'm saying? Yes. You know, and I hear me as a goof, and all the boys went to the, you know, curtain and they're watching and laughing their ass off. That's, you know, part of my friends, but backstage, you know. You know, but hey, you want me to do it? No problem. I'll do it standing on my head if you want me to.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are the boss. I'm only the, you know, I'm only the cartoon character that you're putting out there. You know?
Never thought of that. Never put the gondola stripe together until right now.
I know. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, it was. I loved the gimmick when you came out. You were awesome. And then they paired you almost right away, like as Hulk Hogan's buddy. And Hulk Hogan was at the top of his game at this time. So this must have been a very humbling experience for you to just say, you know what, you're going to be working with the Hulkster.
Man, yeah. And here I am, Hulk Hogan's cheerleader.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing when you look at the situation and look at the storyline. You know, that's when Quake was there. He was with Dino Bravo.
Yep.
And they worked the bags that. Quake put him out, you know, and then he did the first movie he did. With the cross I got. The guy
No Holds Barred?
You know, the big black guy.
Yeah. No Holds Barred.
Yeah, No Holds Barred, I think, you know, but he did a couple movies where they, you know, Quake put him out, so he's out recovering. I'm selling wristbands. Hulk rules. The cheerleader, I sold many wristbands.
Yes, you did.
Get your vitamins. You know, brother, get your Hulk Hogan vitamins. Your prayers before you go to bed. Yeah.
Now, there seemed to be some, like, just a natural chemistry between you two, and I feel like that's kind of hard to come by. You being so fresh in the business, and Hulk Hogan being, you know, Hulk Hogan. Was there a natural chemistry with you guys backstage? Was it natural to work with him? Because it came across so well and so, like, kind of like unexpected. For that to happen, was there a chemistry there?
You know, Hulk was such a professional and everything like that. I mean, that was the biggest. Man, I was nervous. You know, here I am with the big man. You know, and I'm like, oh my god. You know, you're always worried about doing the right thing or not doing the right thing. Am I overstepping my boundaries by talking too much or not talking enough? Or, you know what I'm saying? But he was nice and always a gentleman, always very, very polite. You know, and the fact is, you know, every person that he's ever been in contact with in the business, when he touched him, it was like the golden, you know, like the blessing. You know what I'm saying? Because he, like you say, he was the hottest thing going out there, and here I am put into a situation where that I'm with him, you know, and man, it was just awesome, you know. And I, like you say, you know, we did have the chemistry, and I feel honored that things went as well as they had. I wish they had been longer. I get so many people there that will talk about fans. It's just phenomenal, you know what I'm saying? Especially the older people and stuff like that.
Definitely.
You know, and the young kids that are now older guys now, you know what I'm saying? So it was a really a cool thing, you know. When I went through the airport and stuff like that, always, I mean, people were just nice and great. And, they knew who I, right away who I was. And, you know, I didn't have to wear a sailor outfit to come to the airport. To get the you know what I'm saying? So it was kind of cool, you know. You know, I was blessed as far as that goes.
Now, let me ask you this. When Quake destroyed Hogan, I think it was on the Brother Love show, if I'm not mistaken. Now, there was a whole big gimmick, you know, send Hogan your get-well cards, do all this stuff. You know, was that legit? Did Hogan receive a whole bunch of get-well cards?
Yeah, surely.
That's
awesome. Yeah, man. I'm telling you, I sold a ton of bracelets, you know, the whole girls. Tie-on bracelets, you know, like I was like the Armstrong before his time, but drug-free, you know what I'm saying?
No, I got you.
But you got the letters, cards, everything, you know, the concern that was there, you know, that's why by the same reason I was such a, you know, baby-faced goof that when they worked the whole angle, when it came time to change, you know, I would hate it, man, because I turned my back, you know, on the biggest baby face, you know, in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and so immediately I had nuclear heat as far as, you know, being a traitor, you know?
So, yeah, you did.
That was crazy.
I remember that Battle Royal when I think either you went to or you eliminated Hulk Hogan, and we were just I watching it at home. I was like, why did Tugboat do that to Hulk Hogan? I was very upset. I was upset.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't the only one. I mean, it was worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, one of those, I need to be aware of where I parked my car. I didn't want to come out the 4 flat tires. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. And then, you know, not soon after that, you do the Typhoon gimmick. You're paired with Earthquake.
My favorite.
Oh, what a great tag team that was. You guys had instant chemistry. I mean, like, the name, the look, the singlets, everything clicked. How was it working with Earthquake? Did you guys get along, you know, behind the scenes?
John was awesome, man. He's not only my tag team partner, but he's my friend.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I tell guys all the time. I mean, when I was on the road, there was times we went to Disney World, Busch Gardens. I mean, it was awesome. You know, he was a good guy. My kids were young then, and his kids were like the same age, and we had fun. I mean, and on the road, it makes for a lot of less misery and headaches and drama, you know what I'm saying, when you're compatible with somebody. Remember, we're on the road 250 to 300 days a year, you know what I'm saying, so you're on the whole road putting in more time with the guys you're wrestling with than you are at home with your family.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why in the business, a lot of marriages, you know, come under hardship because just, you know, the wear and tear. I mean, it's no different than any other actor or performer, you know, or musician that's out there. You know, the trials and tribulations of being on the road, you know. There's a lot of bad stuff that comes your way if you're exposed to a lot of awkward situations and stuff like that, you know, and for us, it was a matter of us, you know, having fun, going to the movies and, you know, having a good time while we're on the road, making the best of, you know, a bad situation, you know. It's like I tell my kids, you know, it's, they don't call it work because it's play, you know, it's not called, let's go to play, we're going to work, you know, and, you know, you have to, everything you do, and especially when you're in the public eye, you know, comes under scrutiny, you know.
It's true.
The fans have a different view of you. they have, you know, if you get caught doing something or something not smell very right, that, you know, that's happened with you, or you act a certain way or you talk to somebody in a different way, you know, it's all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to do what you can do, you know, to make it as easy on you mentally and physically, you know, and just to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. And the thing about you and John Earthquake is you always hear bad stories about wrestlers back in the day, the 90s, the partiers, you know, arrests, things like that. And if I recall, I don't think I've ever heard a bad Earthquake story. I don't think I've ever heard a bad Tugboat stories. I mean, you guys kept it straight and narrow, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, we're no angels. I mean, you know, but most assuredly, I mean, you know, me, I don't drink, don't smoke, didn't do anything, you know what I'm saying? If that's a big two shoes, big two shoes. I've had my other vices that I've done over the years as far as, you know, not drugs or anything like that, but I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm just into a lot of other stuff, and I can entertain myself without being that bored that, you know, I have to get hammered or do something stupid. I didn't go out to bars. Very seldom I go out to a bar with the boys, you know, because somebody would always do something stupid, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're pretty version when you think, you know, you got to go out every once in a while. But, I mean, you know, I don't think it's that hard, you know, to quote-unquote behave yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I always have a good time. I look forward to going home. When I see over in Japan 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time, several times a year, you know, and I, you know, my deal is I want to get this over, make the best of it while I'm here. I'm working out where to get a workout in, seeing the sights, enjoying myself. You know, I have the opportunity to be someplace that most people will never go to.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to about, I don't know, 30-something, 40-something different countries. You know, all 50 states, every little town in between. And a lot of times, it's they can zoom in and zoom out. You know, I've done two-a-day wrestling matches where you're going from one state to another state. I've flown in from overseas, from another country on tour overseas. To go right directly to a building, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I was there for the birth of all three of my kids, and I was at TV, doing TV, coincidentally, at all three. You know,
wow.
When you were doing TV, it's usually 2 or 3 days on the road. And, you know, I was lucky enough that Vince would let me. I flew home, was there for the birth, and then next morning on the big steel bird, you know, mile high and pressurized, man.
Yeah, you didn't take a tugboat to the next show? You didn't take a tugboat to the next show?
No, no tugboat, man. No time.
No time for the tugboat. All air travel.
The slow tugboat to China. I've been slow enough to do this.
All air travel. So back to the natural disasters. You guys win the tag belts. You guys are faces. You're getting the positive reaction from the fans again. You had a really great run there. Earthquake takes a leave of absence for a bit, kind of leaves you on the solo. And then what happened there? What led to your leaving the WWF and signing with WCW?
I can't even remember back then if it was him. First, I had to leave. I think I left first because I had opened a couple bars in Key West, Florida. And okay. What happened was, right before I was going to open up, my brother-in-law was partners with me. He wound up getting shot and killed outside a convenience store in Tampa. And so right before we were going to pop, because the deal was I was going to keep working. And when I come home off the road, I just fly straight into Key West because I have family down there also and that. But we'd fly to Key West and then do our stuff there. And then I'd fly back out of there.
That's quite the travel. So I guess that's when you took the time out for a little while
really?
And did the whole other thing.
Hey, you guys know that Tony Soprano died?
Yeah, we just found out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Did they say how?
Yeah, she's gonna find out.
Oh man, yeah, that.
How wild is that?
That sucks.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable.
I'll always remember who I was talking to when I found out Tony Soprano died.
There you go.
I was talking to Tugboat.
Man, I'm a big fan.
And yeah, we're Jersey guys too, so that's rough,
a hit.
Yeah. Tony Soprano's it's been filmed all around us. Well, so,
damn. Yeah.
Huh.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
That's tough, man. That's a tough one. I wasn't expecting that at all.
No, that's a downer.
Yeah.
Shit.
So did you watch Brazil?
You were a Sopranos guy?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Who's your favorite character?
My dad's from the Bronx.
There you go.
Oh. He knows.
You know, I got family in Brooklyn.
So you were a Johnny Sacramone fan?
Oh. I like flapjack.
Oh, Johnny Cakes?
Johnny Cakes. I gotta say, man, the Johnny Cakes episodes were the best when they're in the field together.
Oh my god.
Dude, how creepy was it though when New York got a hold of him when he came back? And who was it? Was it Johnny that came out of
the closet? Came out of the closet with the broomstick.
Oh my god. You want to talk about crazy symbolism? That David Chase is sick.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Johnny Cakes.
Johnny Cakes.
Vito, what the fuck? Hey guys, it's a joke. Come on, it's a joke.
He's in the chaps. Holy shit.
You just don't understand me.
There's that, and then when they got lost in the Pine Barrens, that's another classic episode.
Oh my god.
He was an interior decorator. His house looked like shit.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Oh, I love The Sopranos. Oh, that's a damn shame that happened.
Yeah, that sucks.
Damn, how do you segue from that to the Shockmaster?
Let's pick it right
back
up.
Come on, how could you not?
All right, let's pick it up a bit and put it on a...
Hey, kind of the same thing, hey.
Yeah.
That's the beginning.
Let's turn it around a little bit here.
How'd you wind up going to WCW at that point?
That's after I did all of my stuff down there. I wanted to go on there. He talked to me and asked me if I would be interested, you know, about coming in and doing some kind of gimmick, and I said, you know, we talked about it. And I said, man, what about like a superhero type gimmick, you know? Like I said, again, he's a kid and a cartoon character. He's 51 years old, died of a massive heart attack while visiting Italy.
Jesus.
Oh my god. And while he was in Italy,
the end of The Godfather.
Oh my god.
Holy shit. This writes itself.
That's what happened. He got back with that hot girl over there.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think he went looking for Furio.
He was looking for Furio.
Yeah, he's looking for Furio. He had the, what do you call it? Kind of stuff, the lady. He had the, probably had the Roman gladiator gear on. That girl.
Tony, what the fuck?
Oh man, yeah, that shit writes itself. Oh, wow, that's awful. Okay,
shit, we could talk Sopranos all night.
Yeah,
with,
I know that'll be
Fred.
The next.
Be
that'll
awesome.
Be the next show. We'll call Fred back for a Sopranos episode, a retrospect. Tonight's about Fred, though.
Tonight's about Fred.
So they wanted to do a superhero gimmick with you. Did they tell you exactly?
I even drew up some sketches and stuff like that, and that's pretty basically how that came about and everything like that. And they were getting ready for the big pay per view in New Orleans, and the show prior to that was going to be the show Bash the Beach. It was a live pay per view.
Yep.
Where I was supposed to make my debut, I was the surprise tag partner for the cage match that was going to be in New Orleans. They brought me in, the unknown enforcer kind of deal.
Yes.
And they built the set. The set's when Ric Flair was doing Flair for the Gold.
Yep.
Okay, and that was the set. They brought me in and told me this, they're going to give me a cue and that. they built the walls, and they built them like they would in a house. There were 2x4s, 12 to 14 inches, built on center. The only thing about, you know, any interior construction, you know, the interior support boards for your walls, mm-hmm. they either metal or they're wood, and the stud. And so they were 12 to 14 inch on center. And then what they did is, because of the wall, they wanted it to go taller, they added another about 2.5 feet, which brought it right to where my knee, just below my kneecap.
Oh, shit.
And they ran a center board all the way across there. So I had this mask on. When, first of all, they glittered it, and they took and drilled these little holes in it, and it was full of glitter. So the glitter kept coming through the holes. They put it on my head to try it out. And, well, you know, the stuff was going on my eyes. So what they did was they took off the secretary, the office secretary. They took off her pantyhose, cut the material from the pantyhose, and glued it over the little drilled out eye holes that were in the mess. Now, I could barely see because glitter was coming through and there were little holes. And then they put those pantyhose over the inside.
Oh, come on.
So, Mike Graham was there to give me the cue. And he tells me, man, you're going to have to hit this. The wall wasn't gimmick. You're going to have to hit it and hit it very hard. I said, okay. And so what I did was I had the mask on, the cape on, and I have my hands over my head and I'm on a double axe handle to snap the wood and to bust out to the 5/8 sheetrock. And what happened was I should have kicked that stud out at the bottom first and then blasted the top up.
Right.
What I did was I hit it hard with so much force that it blew the top out in my knee. I fell over the tuba port was going longitudinal sideways.
Yeah.
And I was like a big teeter powder. Whang! I hit. Boop! The helmet comes off. I turn my head away because it's live.
Yeah.
So trying to put my face in out, you see, you know, I'm trying to grab, you know, without looking for this helmet. Put it back on my head. Pop up, but meanwhile everybody is like losing their mind out there. You know, if you read the guy's mouths and stuff like that, Davey Boy and all of them, I mean, they're like, you know, what the, you know, I mean.
Oh yeah, it was quite audible.
Pretty good reaction from her. Popped up, you know, to do the promo, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, I'm the shock master.
Wow.
So,
that's a good shock master.
Next thing you know, that's history.
That is history.
I have my own award in WWE, the Shockmaster Award. You know, I guess we're the biggest retard of the year.
Now, let me ask you this. Everyone who's listening to this obviously knows of the whole Shockmaster story. What I don't think a lot of people know, myself included, if that didn't happen the way that it happened, would the Shockmaster have still been the helmet, the Stormtrooper helmet guy? Was that... Did what happened there?
No,
ruin...
I actually had like a mask and everything.
Okay.
Oh,
so
wow.
Was your? That's what I need, another mask with a helmet over it.
Okay. So
to further blind you.
Was the mask made of pantyhose? Was it like you were robbing a bank?
I wasn't blind enough or clumsy enough. I needed extra helmet.
Oh my!
I needed props. Yeah.
I remember watching that live, and this was before the internet really took off or anything like that. So. The mask comes off, and I see you, like, on the ground, and I see the hair and a bit of the beard or whatever. And I looked at my dad. I said, I think that's Tugboat. Is that Tugboat? I think that's Tugboat. And my dad says, I don't think that was supposed to go down like that. And I said, I don't think so either.
Well, figuratively and literally.
You're right, Dad.
Yeah, you're right, Dad. But I've always wanted to ask you, when that happened, what was the first thought in your head when you just toppled over?
The mask ended up and finished.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was the first business. That was it. Always business. No matter if you screw up, the show must go on, is what they say, right?
Right.
And that was the same thing going through my head. You know, There's no do-overs on a live TV.
No.
All I said, it was live, Bash at the Beach.
That was
it's
it.
On the beach, Florida.
Now, let me ask you this, though.
No do-over.
Yeah, after all this went down, I noticed when you ditched the whole mask gimmick and you were just coming out as just like the Shockmaster, no mask. They kind of, I remember one specific match I was watching recently, Jesse Ventura, Tony Schiavone taking shots about it, like ribbing you on the air. How long did it take you? Obviously, you're okay with it now, but at the time, how long did it take you to embrace what actually happened?
Not just one night. I've always been ripped all my life anyway, so what's a couple more days? A couple more years. I'm saying my whole life. You know? The whole thing, that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it happens. Then they changed me to Uncle Fred. Who is me? The goofy, retarded, inappropriate. You know, as my grandkids call me, inappropriate pawpaw.
Inappropriate pawpaw.
That's your next
thing. Inappropriate. They told me I went to go do a fly up to Tennessee, where my wife is from. My kids wanted to come there for grandma, my grandkids. They wanted to come there for, parent, grandparent day or whatever. So I went out there. I said, well, do you want appropriate pawpaw or do you want inappropriate pawpaw? appropriate, my granddaughter told me. Like, oh, inappropriate, huh? Yeah, okay, inappropriate. No. Because they know how goofy I am. And, you know, it's just me. My oldest son, Berkeley, who does a little bit of stuff with NXT down here in Florida.
Oh, wow.
He told me, because his mom doesn't have a sense of humor. You know, she's kind of dry. Uh-huh. Anyway, I would always do inappropriate jokes, inappropriate stuff with my kids. They love me for that, you know, that I am the way I am. And their friends like me for the way I am.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, his biggest deal was always telling him, well, you have to admit, he is funny. They would just, hey, see what you do to your kids, see? This is why they're the way they are. You know, I'm like, oh,
Tug
well,
Woods yelled at his wife.
You gotta have a good time.
Yeah.
You gotta have fun. And even bad situations, you can't take them away or do them over. I mean, they could be an embarrassment, but if you live on the embarrassment, it's a completely different story.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They can get over it. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody perfect out there.
Yeah.
The most seasoned professionals. If everybody was perfect, would all the movies have outtakes?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay. And sometimes the outtakes are the funniest part of the movie.
That's true. Sometimes the outtakes are the funniest part of Bash at the Beach, too.
Hey, the last movie that I took my wife to is the third in the where the guys go to Vegas.
Hangover.
Hangover. The funniest part of this last movie was the outtakes at the end.
That's what I heard, too.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. I heard that the best part of the movie was when the movie was over and they were showing all the outtakes and the flubs and everything like that. And that's true. You gotta have a good laugh at a situation like that, you know?
Oh, Burt Reynolds movies were known for that.
Burt Reynolds movies?
All yeah, like movies. Cannonball Run. And...
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Very true. I always look forward to the outtakes, definitely. But that, you know, that whole Shockmaster thing, I mean, like, that, it seemed like it laid low for a while. And then all of a sudden, I guess with the birth of YouTube and everything, you know, people that weren't familiar with it or even born at the time now know about it. So that has definitely cemented your legendary status. And then people check out your previous stuff, too. I mean, they'll see the Shockmaster and they'll go, what else has he done? Then they'll find Typhoon. Then they'll find Tugboat. So your infamy is going to live on forever because I think of that one moment in time.
You know, I think it's cool, you know, and when I talk to I talk to a lot of people about a lot of different things. They ask me about that. And everybody's always apprehensive. It's like when you were having an interview, what can't we talk about? I talk about everything, and I have no skeletons that I fear, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm pretty informed. I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I meet young guys. Like I said, I enjoy going to outlaw shows, too. You know, I mean, I'll show up at one. You know, they have a lot of me in Florida. You know, I don't think there's good ones in, up in your area, up in Jersey and New York and that stuff, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying? But I enjoy looking at the town, you know, meeting guys and stuff like that, and I'll answer questions for you. And I'll try to be as honest as possible on my Facebook. Guys can contact me all the time, you know, and I'll give them my personal number and say, hey, give me a call, man, anytime. And yeah. There's two or three guys there that, call me, we talk and stuff like that. You know, I was a gimmick, okay? I'm not the excellence of execution like many seasoned veterans out there, master of 1,000 holes or something like that. You know, I felt that, I did pretty good, and I did the best with what I had, and I was lucky enough to be teamed up with some very, very good partners, and a lot of great, there's guys out there, I think, that are generals, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And think that, there was a lot of them that really, took the extra time to, they didn't have to. Nick Bockwinkel. I mean, him and Kurt Hennig. I was up with doing some shows in Georgia for Crusher Blackwell. Who had invited me up to work some shows that he promoted locally. And he brought Nick and Kurt in. We worked out in a ring in the backyard. A mile and a half from a chicken factory. here's a guy, AWA world champion. I mean, both of them. Father was a legend, Kurt. You know what I'm saying? He's a legend.
Yeah.
His son is doing phenomenal right now.
I know. What a great push.
His son is a great talent. And I just feel that, I was like, wow, man, these guys are. It was when I just, I'd been in Tennessee and I was kind of green. But I've met them a couple of different times when they came in for Tennessee, because they were an AWA affiliate there. They used that championship belt while that office was still open. Wow. And so I felt very lucky,
Yeah.
To have had that, the opportunity. And if they thought enough of me as a person, take the time to help me be better as a wrestler, what I'm saying? So, I always try to take advantage with opportunities like that, even overseas, stuff like that. And I try to give back a little bit, I'm very limited. And certain things I'm better than others, But, like I said, I mentioned my friend Quake. God took him away from me way too soon, man.
Yeah.
And he was a good dad, a good husband, and he was a great wrestler and partner, man. I feel very lucky to have had him and have the stories that we shared on the road. Some of them humorous, some of them maybe not so much. But, there's still memories in the back of my mind, and I really enjoy it, And it's cool.
Yes, it's definitely cool looking back. And you mentioned before you were talking about guys that, the excellence of execution, the technicians. One thing that I always remember are good, colorful gimmicks. And, guys like you, the Tugboat, the Typhoon, the Shockmaster, all three pretty different. And they all stand out and they're all very memorable. And I guess that says a lot about you, how you portray the character. So, you can have the technical aspect, but also, I feel like a memorable gimmick can go a lot further.
Yeah. And, it's like, I remember Malenko telling, because there's so many big guys coming to business that, for instance, don't sell very much. They don't put stuff over,
Right.
And, Superman only lives in the comic books, Superman even has kryptonite, So, I'm like, be healthy, you have to. Guys want to cover up, not show their facial expressions, and not, You have to be not only a technician, but you and a great worker, but you have to be you have to pass on your feeling to the fans.
And yes.
Make them, many times you say, you pick out a fan, and if you can make that fan come up out of their seat, sit them back down into their seat, bring them out, take their feet out from under them, Pick out a woman and, have, if you're a heel, and actually bring her to tears, I mean, you're doing your job, you're, it's like being a, I hate I'd hate for somebody to kill me, but, you know, almost like a, what we did is like playing football with no pads. But yeah. It's still acting. You know, it's still, you know, I watched 2020. I tell people all the time, I couldn't get insurance, guys. They wouldn't give me insurance. They go, oh, you're a wrestler. We can't insure you. Okay? I just, man, did you watch 2020? It's entertainment. That's what they said. It's entertainment, man.
Yeah.
And you can't see. It wasn't until I did a couple of movies and some commercials and that I got sad. You know, and I was trying to keep up my SAG card doing outside wrestling stuff so I could have insurance on me, you know. Yeah. I got pneumonia one time on the road. Cost me $14,000 out of my pocket.
Ooh, oh, my God.
Good Lord.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, make Dallas Wrestling and pay for my children, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I made stuff like that. You know, I talk to guys all the time. You know, the business gets battered one way, and then they tell you something from a different way, a different direction, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's bizarre. I mean, but you can't beat City Hall. And, you know, you just go and you roll with the punches. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
If the Delta, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that believe their own publicity. There's a lot of guys out there that, you know, are great, genuine guys. There's a lot of generals. There's a lot of good guys. I was talking back and forth with Flair the other day online. And I hadn't heard from him or seen him talk over the years. It was just nice, you know what I'm saying? And he was a great guy. Great, great guy. And stuff like that, you know, I mean, Dusty Rhodes, I mean, who's my brother-in-law, you know, Sag, the Nasty Boys, brother, but, you know, Goldust, my brother-in-law. I mean, he's my nephew. And Cody Runnels, my nephew.
Yeah.
And great kid, you know, good worker, you know. And, I mean, Dustin's phenomenal, you know what I mean? Good guy. Good, giant heart, you know. And, I mean, just, you know, one of those deals. I mean, I was fortunate, you know, to have them and meet them. And I believe every guy, no matter if they were pain in the butt or if they were a good person, and they were all people I've met in my life, this business introduced me to a lot of different things, and a lot of experiences, and, you know, I feel blessed, you know. Even the bad experiences were experiences, you know. And so, you know, everything is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful business. It's a wonderful business. It has its ups, it has its downs. It's no different. You know, people ask me about Vince all the time, you know. What kind of man is this guy, Mr. Man? I go, you know, he's no different than any other owner of a corporation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he's got a hard, hard seat to fill, but you can't make everybody happy. You know what I'm saying? You got to ride the wave while you can ride the wave and take advantage of everything you can. And be thankful for the opportunity. I was never jealous about people getting opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Guys sitting back, how many years did Triple H go unnoticed? You know
what
I'm saying? Until he got the opportunity. And he was an untapped talent. You know what I'm saying? A great talent. He worked in WCW for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Another one, Steve Austin, worked on Little Card for years, man. You know, we got that opportunity.
That's
true. You know
what
I'm saying? He was great.
Yeah.
You know,
and you also mentioned. Kurt Hennig's son too. He's actually, you know, he's been wrestling a while, and it's taken a long time for them to, you know, really actually finally put the spotlight on him. I mean, he's definitely paid his dues and worked his way up to where he is now.
Oh my God, yeah, man.
You know, it's cool.
There's a lot of guys like that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's like when you go to wrestling. Not everybody goes to see Hulk Hogan. Not everybody goes to see, you know, the Ric Flairs, the Kurt Hennig's, and all those guys up there. There's some, you know, they go and see the other guys up there. I mean, Undertaker, look how phenomenal he's done over the years.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a good guy, man. Mark is a great, great individual.
And you were actually nice, you were actually one of the guys that they put in there with the Undertaker when he first showed up around the horn, right?
So funny, I was at an event with an autograph event up north with Percy. Not long before he died, we've been talking back and forth. Matter of fact, I talked to him right before he died, that weekend prior to his dying, and he wasn't feeling good. Is she on to the weather and stuff like that? You know, and he's like, no, we were talking, like, you know, I was sitting with him, Dallas Page, and even Sheepy was there, and I was like, you know, he goes, you know, remember when we, you had Mark's first match? I said, I remember those dead crumbs being thrown on my face. So, but, you know, I mean, they were all good guys, you know, even Sheepy. She's the butt of very, very many jokes and this and that. She's a good guy, man.
Yeah, he's fun. He's fun to read his Twitter.
Oh, he's a piece of work.
His Twitter and his Facebook are hilarious.
France and his raves and stuff like that.
Oh my
he's
God!
He's a man who's world champion. So, like, you know, it's just like so many people don't know about Quake, man. Quake was an Olympic wrestling champion in Canada. He wrestled amateur at LSU, Louisiana State University. Okay, he was a sumo over in Japan. That's where he went, and he hated the garbage that, you know, that went along with it. He was undefeated. He was there for about a year. He just couldn't deal with, you know, all the stringent, you know, stuff that you had to go through and hiney kissing, you know, because it's very, very political. And that's where he got picked up by Shoei Baba, and he broke into pro wrestling there in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he's a great. He was a bad man, DB. You know, I mean, there's many, many guys out there that can walk the walk, fuck the talk. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot that don't. You know, that believe their own publicity. You know, but you know, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of good people out there, and you know, I love the business. I think there's a lot of great talent in house. You know. I wish it was more flamboyant, maybe, some of the people that are out there.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think I'm liking the fact that they're trying to cuddle a few more tag teams together and stuff like that.
Yes.
Like, I'm kind of liking that guy, Brodus Clay, and the other guys they put together.
Tensai.
He used to be the punk guy with all the piercing.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I really do like Tons of Funk, too. I get a lot of shit for being a fan of theirs, actually.
Well, you know what? They were real rough, but it seems like if they can get smoother together, I think that they could be a really, really good, believable, and plus being characters.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that helps. That's huge.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's so few of those, I think, now at this point. You know what I'm saying? Not as many characters and that stuff. And what happened to the midgets, other than Hornswoggle? You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Where'd they go?
I think Kali ate them.
maybe. A little hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. Finger foods.
Where they put them on the stick and, like, dip them?
Oh, they're on a rotisserie.
Yeah. Cocktail waitresses bring them around for the boys.
Well, their fingers are like little cocktail wieners.
I remember something for everybody.
Yeah, I remember when King Kong Bundy squashed the midget at WrestleMania.
Oh, that was a great moment too.
Holy
I put
cow.
That right up there with the Shockmaster moment.
Oh, absolutely, that's up there. That's definitely up there.
They would get sued by the Little People Association.
Yes, I know. That's
of course.
It.
No,
lawsuits.
You can't do that
lawsuits.
Anymore,
they're coming.
Man.
They're coming. Definitely.
Oh, politically incorrect.
That's fine.
Should we say alleged little person?
Politically correct. That's the bad pawpaw. That's inappropriate pawpaw.
Inappropriate paw. We got inappropriate pawpaw tonight.
That's it. Exactly. Well, that's when they made me into Uncle Fred, where I, you know, we knocked over drains on people. I read The Night Before Christmas in a Santa outfit and then got up and stepped on all the toys. All the
I got to find you know? This stuff. I got to watch this stuff again.
Yeah, that's Uncle Fred.
Uncle Fred,
that
man.
Was Uncle Fred.
That's hilarious. You know, the WWE needs an Uncle Fred like gimmick, I think.
Dude, Uncle Fred would rule.
Uncle Fred, you have to come back, man.
Dude, I'm picturing the vignettes
that's
now.
It,
like,
I have to come back.
Kids.
All I do is fall down a lot.
That's it.
I fall down and I break things. I'm really good at that. Breaking things stuff, very good at it.
Yes. We need Uncle Fred in WWE. You retired, you know, you retired actually, what, like 10 years ago or so, right? Like a while ago.
Yeah. The last thing I did was when we did. Gimmick Battle Royal in Houston, Texas.
Oh, you guys looked great, too. It was like you didn't age at all, you and Earthquake. You guys came in there, you looked exactly the same.
Just for a minute.
Just for a minute. Yeah, just for men.
Well, Iron Sheik, on the other hand. Poor guy couldn't even walk. I don't think there was any question.
Oh, dude, Cerberoni. I can't believe it.
I'm pretty sure.
You're back to Iron Sheik. I stretch you, you.
I get a I get a Sheik story to share with you real quick. He was working a show here in South Orange, New Jersey, and he was actually working Cloudy. I don't know if you remember him. He was the manager for Hot Minute of the Body Donnas.
Yeah.
So he takes a couple of punches. He goes to take a powder. He rolls under the bottom rope. His belly was just too big. He got caught under the bottom rope, and he just lost it. He started cracking up. Oh, Sheik is something else.
I miss him. He was a good guy. I made a lot of friends with him, and I roomed with him. But to me, he was good. He's got humor in that, you know. Other than his ways, he's... I do autograph for you.
You do a good Sheiky, and you do a great Paul Bearer. I liked your Paul Bearer.
Should have him do a liner as Paul Bearer.
Yeah, well.
Hey, Fred, when...
Who used to be really, really good was, Crush.
Oh, yeah, Brian Adams.
The Imitations. He'd actually call boys up on the road and that stuff. And, I mean, just really F with them. I mean, it was really bad.
That's hilarious.
Never would have picked that.
You know, make up the voices and stuff like that.
That's funny. You think of Crush, you don't think of like a guy imitating other people.
Well, his Hawaiian accent was impeccable.
Oh no, Hawaiian guy, but naughty boy, that man, naughty boy.
Oh,
but
Crush.
Stuff like that that keeps things fun in the locker room. I mean, you know, it was always depending how long the tours are, who's going to crack first?
Yeah.
Pete Petty, who's going to crack? Who's going to crack? What things are going to set somebody off? You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure you tried to set people off.
Yeah, I'm
too.
Sure Uncle Fred didn't pull any fast ones in the locker room.
Oh, no, not at all. Never.
No. I'm not a river. I enjoy good ribs, but not a river.
What's
I think who's funny, Marty Jannetty was always really entertaining.
That's
love
awesome.
Marty Jannetty.
I remember we had a double shot in Ohio, and he was putting on all different guys' gimmicks. He had a hood on from one of Pasternak
the Orient Express. Yes.
Orient Express. He stole one of their hoods. He's wearing it. He's got like two or three gimmicks on. Okay, because we're there early at the building for the second show. And Sheik's coming in and he's talking about, how good a shooter and this and that. And I think, and Marty runs up behind him and schoolboys him. And then he runs, 1, 2, 3. Oh, you bastard. Oh, you. Okay, stuff like that. And, in front of Strongbow was there, and everybody was in the room when it happened. And, oh, my God, he's chasing him, and then he got away. And then he waited for things to calm down again. And did it again. Took him down, stretched, hooked him, and into a pity. Like a turtle on his back,
trying to get up.
But that's just Marty, you know.
As if I needed another reason to like Marty Jannetty.
Dude, Marty Jannetty's just awesome. Are you friends with him on the Facebook?
Marty Jannetty is a wonderful guy, man.
Are you friends with
a very, very good talent.
Oh, absolutely. And he's still going strong today, too. He's booked all over all the time.
He's got a cat obsession.
I think he's looking up there in Jersey by you guys now.
He might, he might have moved because he's doing a lot of New Jersey shots. Yeah. What
last
led to?
Last I saw him, he said he was staying up because I'd seen him up there, and then because I know he's up there, and then Matt Bourne.
Oh yeah, Matt Bourne.
Krusty the Clown.
Yeah,
Krusty the Clown.
The good doink.
Josh.
He was the better doink. Oh wow, Big Josh.
Krusty.
Oh my God, he'll rip my head off probably.
When Matt Bourne was given that gimmick, man, that was the best part of that gimmick when he was playing the Dark Clown. Making kids cry and stuff. That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
And then they just turned him into like, dude,
I'm like being a clown smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, popping balloons with a cigar.
Actually, didn't you...
Cigarette and a beer. Crusty.
Didn't you work with him in one of his first matches, I believe, on a Raw.
Oh, yeah, I worked with him.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that match vividly.
Oh, my God. He'd be like, you know, that's the equivalent of, like, Pig Ben with clown makeup.
That's fantastic. I got to ask you, man, because you seem like you still love the business so much. Why'd you retire? I guess, you know, it was a while back, but it seemed like you still had so much gas in the tank.
This is stuff like that, and I wound up, you know, I had to. I came up there for a short period of time when Quake left, and then he went to WCW. And so he was working on a program with
Yoko?
With Yoko, yeah. And I came up there, and I probably should. That's when I had my places down south, and I was working 1,000 hours. It seemed like a week. And they contacted me, and if I was available, and I made arrangements. So my manager watched things. Because I had two places right next to each other, and I'm like, I go, you okay? And I went up and did, yeah, like 30 shots left or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out afterward they really were interested in war, doing other things, and then I, you know, I had to get back. I had so much money, but and I had just a lot of drama and that going on with my places and stuff. And I had to go off the road. I mean, really, it was like a premature kind of deal. Trust me, I would have longed to be on the road as long as I could. I mean, unfortunately, it was one of those type deals, yeah.
Oh, man.
And it seemed like around that time, Yoko was there. I think they had just recently brought Bam Bam Bigelow back. And I think they just wanted – did they just want like a big guy like yourself to work against them? They seemed like a competitive guy that could – that when, hey, we just beat Typhoon, that means we're legit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those deals. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, you do try to think the best you can. You can't think with your heart. You have to think, you know, realistically. I got, you know, people depending on me making paychecks and stuff like that. And I can't totally drop something if you don't know. I mean, one of the clubs I own was a strip club, and you can't just leave it in the hands. You know, I am the owner of Fashion Galore. Somebody told me that years when I was younger, you know, and if you don't maintain, if you have business, you have to watch. It's like having a garden. You have to tend your garden if you want to get fruit.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely does. It's just, it feels like we didn't get enough of Typhoon and Tugboat. It seems like you were there for a good few years and then just gone. And I guess you did Japan.
I miss the fans as much as they miss me. Like sometimes, you know, when we just did that Mania deal up there, that WrestleFest and that, there was people from all over, there was promoters, there was fans, I mean, from all over the world, and people that had talked on Facebook and stuff and everything like that. It's always a great honor, you know, to think that somebody cares enough that, you know, once cherishes my autograph or wants to get a picture with me and stuff like that. That enjoyed the work that I did and enjoyed watching me do stuff. And knowing it wasn't all, you know, an ego thing or a thing, you know, that, you know, legitimately that I entertained people and, you know, and they thought a lot of me. So, I mean, it's a humbling experience. It's a real honor, you know.
Yeah.
So the fans like that.
Right, right. And I feel like you went through your entire career. Were you ever injured badly? I mean, I don't recall you ever being out for a period of time with any injuries or anything like that.
I worked through plenty of them, trust me. body, I have in the past right now. I'm retired pretty basically completely. I mean, I can't work. And I've had, over the last 2 years, a few surgeries on the valves of my legs and stuff like that. And I tore my Achilles tendon completely in half.
Oh.
And it took almost a year. Just now I got off, weaned myself from crutches. I'm going up there this weekend and going to be up there for like an autograph thing in Boston, outside Boston in Massachusetts. And I'm going to like two or three shows with Action Smash of Demolition. And So that's kind of cool. And, you know, it's hard. I get calls all the time. Guys want me to work, man. I can't. I can't work. I can't, you know, for a little bit of money to get my hands on, you know, getting hurt. You know, I'm not supposed to be working and should be working.
Right.
So I miss it a whole lot. But, you know, all I do now is the autograph stuff and that primarily, you know. And now I've got back in the gym. I trained with Luke of the Bushwhackers. He has a gym over here at Clearwater Beach.
I guess he forgave you. He forgave you for turning on him years ago.
Yeah, I let him lick my head once in a while. He's okay. Keep it apart right here. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, when you guys see each other at the gym, does he do the whoa and you go the hoo hoo?
Yeah, the boop boop. Matter of fact, I was autographing some pictures for his wall up there this morning. Because he wanted them for the wall. Yeah. Sure, man, sure, no problem. You know, so I mean, you know, so I'm just not getting back in there, training a little bit. I'm gonna see if I can lean out a little bit and make a good looking corpse, I guess.
Hey. Too many corpse talks tonight.
Yes.
No. Enough corpse talk tonight.
The WWE needs Uncle Fred back. You're not going anywhere until we get Uncle Fred.
He's just a Yoda.
Damn. You could do anybody. You're probably better than Crush was.
Yeah. I really want to pull up some tapes of King Kong Bundy because I heard he's doing stand-up.
Is he really?
Oh, that's hilarious.
I told you that when I was up in New York.
Oh, my God.
Is he opening for Mick Foley?
I don't know. I've been wanting to go online and look. And see.
He should open for Uncle Fred.
He is funny, though. All I'm going to tell you, he is funny. He's got a real dry sense of humor, but he's very... You know, he's one of those insult masters.
Yeah.
I've met Bundy a few times. He really is a funny dude.
Well, from what I was told when we worked up there is Married with Children. They were called the Bundys because the guy that made that show was a big wrestling fan.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's why
they were called the Bundys.
It was the Bundys.
As a matter of fact, I think he did a show with somebody else.
He did do
a
show.
On there. He made a guest appearance.
Yep. Yeah, he was like their uncle or their cousin or something. Real quick, is there anything, any upcoming events you'd like to plug tonight before we let you go?
Well, I'll just plug in that, and people can go on my Facebook, and it's on there. And I mean, but I'm flying out on early Friday morning, and I'm gonna be up in New England for a Wrestle Fest that they're putting on up there, and I'm booked at 3 other shows, and all 3 characters will be there.
Oh, nice. How are you going to pull that off?
That's Superman style. That's a phone booth.
Being Superman, baby. And I don't have any script tonight. That's it.
That's
a nearby phone booth. Oh, it's a Shockmaster. Oh, I'll be falling out of the phone booth. Ah.
Yeah. Fall out of the phone booth.
That's a huge get, man.
That's funny.
Look at the Shockmaster, Mom.
Wait, are you going to come out as Inappropriate Papa too?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
That's the final. That's the. Was Tugboat your favorite? Was Tugboat your favorite character?
They all were. You know, people ask me, like, "Would you rather be a heel? Would you rather be a babyface?" You know, I made the best of anything they gave me to see.
Nice.
If you ever have the opportunity on my Facebook, look for Superstar Bubba. That's another character that I was in Tennessee. And I do a dance contest. And if you want to see some very, very funny stuff, I actually did, I danced a few times at the Mid-South Coliseum. I had one piece pipe. I had pink ones. I had leopard skin ones.
Oh, no way.
And if you want to see some funny stuff, I used to come out to Walk This Way, Run DMC.
Oh boy.
That's awesome.
And I have a dance contest with The Rock Daddy. Where I won't give it away what I do to him, but you'll appreciate it and it's funny.
We're
We're going to check that out.
We
encourage our listeners to check that out as well.
I encourage the fans, if you want to see something that will make you be your fan,
now,
it's definitely watching me dance.
Now, do we want to recommend that they don't do it past 11 o'clock, because if they go to sleep, it could possibly give them nightmares?
I bring new meaning to the word moonwalk.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert.
And on that note, Fred, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and share stories with you. It's been awesome, man. Thank you so much for being so open.
Thanks, Uncle Fred.
Oh.
Learned a lot. Thanks a lot.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
From the current to the way back, tune into Turnbuckle Throwbacks every week, exclusively on RadioInfluence.com, Buzzsprout.com, and on Stitcher.
The thing I regret is not asking him what the pantyhose smelled like.
Toot toot!
I really wanted to fucking ask him that, and I just couldn't get it in.
Foot foot!
And I'm glad that he brought up that he hangs out with Luke from the Bushwhackers, so I could do the whole whoa and toot toot line.
Yeah, that was a good line.
I wanted to do it with Flair because he said he talked to Flair, so I wanted to do the toot toot with the woo. But
hey, you got it in though.
Yeah, you can't win out. You can't win them all, folks.
No,
whatever.
What a good guy.
Yes, one of the best.
Absolutely.
One of the best.
Absolutely. Before we move on, there were a couple other things in the WWE world worth mentioning.
Couple of, as Matt would say, drizzling shits things?
Nope, not drizzling shits at all.
Oh, you don't say.
I'm positive, Eddie. Positive, Eddie. Yes.
I had no idea we were back on, by the way.
Oh, good morning.
Oh, hey, Kevin. How
Thanks,
are you?
Thanks, guys.
First off, Antonio Cesaro, they're actually doing something with him.
Good news.
Very good news. Him and Zeb Coulter and the Coulter Militia, Coulter's Militia. So that's kind of cool. It's good to see that they came up with something for him.
About time.
It reminds me of when the Rougeaus were heels and came out to All American Boys.
Parlez-vous français?
That was kind of cool.
They were like scouting locations when they moved to America. Like, oh, where are we going to live in America?
Yes.
Didn't they move to Memphis?
Something like that.
They moved all over. But that's one of the best theme songs of all time.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely one of the best. And who's coming back, Kevin?
That would be Mr. Monday Night's.
Rob
Van Dam.
Van Dam, daddy. A former guest of the Shining
Look
Wizards.
Look at that.
Okay, real quick, your opinion.
Yes.
Did you like One of a Kind better or Walk better as his theme song?
Oh, Walk. Oh, you know what?
I love One of
liked,
a Kind.
I liked One of a Kind
actually
a
good.
Lot. One of a Kind.
Like, even like the bridge and like all like the oh,
that's a good,
a good song.
That's a really good song.
But you notice that they never deviated from any, like, it's all kind of like the same like structure of like,
it's the same as Walk.
Yeah, it's they never went too far. They never gave him something completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
the one that was pretty damn close was DDP with fucking the Smells Like Teen Spirit ripoff.
Or Chris Jericho's ripoff of Pearl Jam Evenflo when he was a face.
Yes, yeah. That is a true statement. I almost forgot about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three bags full.
Okay. So what else is going on?
My balls are sweaty.
Well, I wonder what they're going to do with RVD. Now, it seems like, look who they just brought back. They brought back RVD. Christian came back.
Yeah.
Christian!
I have a feeling we're going to see Evan Bourne back at some point soon. I hope to God they're not just bringing him back, RVD, that is, just for bodies in a Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why they brought Christian back, because they need bodies for Money in the Bank, and I hope that that's just not what they're doing.
I read that Triple H and RVD actually set out a specific contract that has certain dates and a game plan. That's the only way RVD would agree to do it.
Because there's so much more that they could do.
Yeah, I think they're going to do something with him. Yeah. Something good.
No, I mean, I'm sure they will. I just hope it's not.
Just think.
His debut is not getting thrown into a Money in the Bank ladder match.
Right, right. I think he's going to become Mr. Money in the Bank again.
Well, no, if he wins it, that's one thing.
I think he needs to win it.
No, if he's in the match, he's got to win it.
He has. But who else is there, too, that you could really look forward to?
Kofi.
Slop. Did you see his match with Dean Ambrose a few weeks ago? Such a sloppy match.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You put one of the Shield guys, you put Ambrose in there, hopefully Ambrose wins it.
But he already has a title.
U.S. title.
Yeah, so that right, that, yeah. That now is.
But even though I do give them credit, they are trying to make the belts seem more important.
They are, and they're integrating feuds into both mid card titles too, which is cool. If it does involve the Miz. But.
If they want to make the belts feel important, they should make them look important. Unlike the Penny Period belts and that awful U.S. belt that needs to die.
Yeah, that belt does
and the fucking
need to die.
Divas belt too.
It's a butterfly.
Fucking butterfly,
dude. And you want to know something?
It's a fucking tampon.
Listen,
it's
I'm breaking down the
eight title. There's blood on it.
It's got wings.
Has fucking Eve's sloppy puss juice all over
it. Oh, God. The butter gutter.
She shines it up with
the
her
butter gutter.
She shines it up with her butter gutter and wears it around.
That is a callback.
That was Kevin's first appearance, wasn't it?
Butter gutter.
The butter gutter. Wow, there was a lot of great stuff in that episode.
Otunga Bunga.
Yeah, stop listening to this one right now and just go back to Otunga Bunga.
Yes, please. Episode 12.
Spare yourselves.
Yeah, so my thing is here's the thing.
Yeah,
Changing the belts, the U.S. belt should go back to the old U.S. belt.
The WCW U.S. belt.
The other thing, I kind of look at the WWE title, and it's just there.
It sucks.
It's not that it sucks. It's just like I have no opinion. It's like looking into a fat pussy.
Ugly.
It's just you stare at it, and you're just
I have an opinion on a fat pussy.
But there's like, you just look at it, and it looks back at you, and you're like,
well, there you are. Yeah, it's a logo. Yeah. On a fucking strap.
Oh, I thought you meant the pussy.
Yeah, that too. Do you like the belt, Kev? I mean,
I agree. The fact that it's just like, hey,
it's just like
we didn't tell you we're WWE enough. Look at our belts.
Yeah,
like here. We see that logo everywhere. It's on the bottom of the screen when we watch Raw. It's everywhere. We know that it's WWE.
We know it.
Don't put it like. I mean, I do. I don't hate it. But
it's just there.
Exactly. I kind of feel the same way
there
Tony does.
There is more they could have done with it. The logo could still be prominent, but why not add some color? Why not put a globe behind it and an eagle outline around it? Bam.
It would have been cool to have the WWE logo on a globe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like put a globe behind the logo. Keep that same design if you want, but just give it something.
Something.
Did you know
that
like the plate is so big that the strap is only like that long? It looks so retarded when they drape it over the shoulders.
Yeah, it looks bad.
It just comes down to like right there, and it looks terrible.
Kevin's pointing
to
under
the breasts. Yeah,
yeah.
And it looks just so awkward. There's no strap to the belt.
No, you know what? I mean, like you look at the spinner belt, which we all hated because it spun, but in comparison, that had so much more detail. And all they really needed to do was take out the plate. And make it a one piece and write the word champion underneath, and you'd have a better belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You really stuck on that champ part, huh? I know that's one of your pet peeves.
Ugh. No world title should say champ.
But the champ is her.
Champ is her.
But the champ is her.
The champ is her.
The champ is her.
Fuck it. Oh, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Champ. Come on.
Come on,
what
I
kind
mean...
of shit is that? Champ.
Speaking of shit.
Yes.
I don't know. I have nothing.
You have nothing? You have another announcement to make.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, that's not shit.
Oh, do you want to make the announcement or should I make the announcement? Well, actually, is it really an announcement or is it more of an invitation?
It's an invitation.
It's an invitation.
Mm.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Ahead.
Kevin, this is our invitation to you, my friend.
I think I know where this is going.
Okay,
take your pants
well, then
off.
What's your answer?
Well,
pants off first. Remember, we said we were gonna sexually harass Kevin all night.
No. I'll hear the offer.
I was gonna do the show with my hand on his knee.
We've been meaning to have you back on since the whole WrestleFest thing. You like that? I keep using the WrestleFest.
Yeah, man.
We would like to know if you would be interested.
I'm so hard right now.
I know. I can't fucking help it. I'm like fucking busted on my fucking Jordaches.
Boners.
Boner talk.
Wizard boners.
Makes
all
me
over.
Want to turn down any invitation.
Wow. Well, you haven't heard it yet.
That's
first,
true.
We're going to give you blowjobs. We're going to take turns. We're going to pass your dick back and forth in between us.
God damn it.
Like
hi, Mom.
like two Asian girls working in a nail salon on feet.
Oh, I don't like it. You take it.
You paint the big tall.
There's a corn on the head.
So we want to make this
urine.
We want to make our threesome a foursome. And we want to know if Kevin Garifo wants to become an official Shining Wizard.
Get the fuck out of here.
Screw to God.
Do. Like I could be like Shining Wizard Kevin.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
If you want,
don't even have to think about it. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Now you get a shirt with your name on the back.
God damn. Right.
Next
wow,
time,
that's awesome.
Next
yes.
time we have money to order shirts.
Yeah, Kevin, give us $30.
Hey, we
I'm in.
Hey, we still have shirts left. So if you want to order one to help get Kevin a custom shirt.
Yeah, support the cause.
And you know what? You know what? Donate money, and whoever donates the most money. Well, I shouldn't say that because then somebody's going to donate 50 cents. And then they're gonna get to name the number and the word on the back of Kevin's shirt.
That's actually
like,
a good
idea. I'll do that.
He'll get asshole 469.
Let's do that. Whoever donates the most money towards Kevin's shirt gets to.
Great,
gets
it's going to be Lopez donating $2.
Gets to choose what it says on the back and the number.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, guys, that's awesome.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard, Kevin.
Wow. This is can I make a speech? Is that cool?
Sure.
Yeah. No, you guys. You guys have honestly the three of you, you, Matt, and Eddie, who's not here. I do the
no
non
Eddie's here.
The non-existent people. You guys have been nothing but
Oh, we didn't okay this with Matt. Matt's fired.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm joking.
No, we cleared it with him.
Yes, of course.
No, you guys have the past few months have been absolutely fantastic and made a whole lot of shit happen for a guy like who loved wrestling just like you did.
I like how he stared at his apple orchard when he was looking for the words there.
Because I don't know. I'm terrible with eye contact, too, so I don't want to actually
stare
look at your faces.
I know. It's hard to look at Eddie with his pants down.
Yeah.
I'll pull
like no, but you guys, WrestleCon was a dream. PWS was a dream. Everything's been great doing the show, talking to Lance Storm, Typhoon tonight, and all the guys
Kendrick
that we talked to at WrestleCon. It was just great, and I happily accept. Thank you.
Well, you did a great job at WrestleCon.
Yeah. That's my clapping.
There it is.
Clap. Awesome. So that's a great announcement.
All right. Wow. Look at that.
Do we have any more announcements to make? I feel like we're announced out. Like we just made like 8 months of programming into like 2 hours.
Yeah, we blew our load.
I don't care.
That's good. That is all.
If you could blow your load for Kevin Garifo, it's a good night.
Amen. Yeah.
Not on him necessarily, just for him.
For him.
I have socks.
Kevin, I jerked off for you tonight.
This show is taking a turn.
Taking a turn for the worse? Hey, what else is in the news?
Speaking of turn for the worse, doesn't Matt want us to call him?
Oh, you know what? Real quick, I just read something on WrestleZone.com there. Looks like another 5-year-old died at the hands of an older sibling performing wrestling moves. Did
so
I
they
see that right?
Say performing wrestling moves, yeah.
All right, I didn't even read the story, but here's the thing. If you're allowing your 5-year-old to practice wrestling with like an older kid, you're fucked up as a parent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
And you know what? Kids are not learning how to beat each other up from wrestling.
No.
They're learning how to beat each other up from other kids at school.
Or watching mommy and daddy.
Watching
have
mommy and daddy
wobbles.
Fight. You can blame the Ninja Turtles. You can blame, I don't even know what other fighting shows there are.
Power Rangers,
yes, thank you. You can blame anything.
Anything.
Look, Vince McMahon's a scumbag for a lot of things, but he's not there going, I want the 12-year-olds to kill all the children.
Well, they actually issued a statement regarding this.
Oh, did they? What'd they say? Nana, nana, poo, poo, stick your head in doo-doo?
Basically, this has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, that's it's basically irresponsible. And their statement parenting. Was right.
And rightfully so. Like, yeah, it's a tragedy. It sucks. It's awful. We don't want to see any kids getting killed, hurt, whatever, but eh.
Says you. Says you.
And that's what they opened the statement with. Yeah, it was a tragedy, but you can't pin that on them. Like, and plus, right. They're even like the law. I've read the article. I read the stories. I followed up on it.
Kevin can read.
The stories that the police aren't buying it because the damage was so severe that an elbow drop wouldn't have done it. Like it was just like the trauma was so great to this girl. I think it was a girl. Yeah,
I think so too.
But it's just, it's unfortunate. We all know that, but you can't pin that on WWE.
Was he celebrating the death of the Macho Man?
You know what they should have done? They should just blame TNA.
Yeah, I mean, because that makes sense.
Dixie can use the publicity.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I PJ and I were talking a lot about TNA, and we all agree on one thing. It fucking sucks.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it just... It does.
If I remembered enough about it, I'd probably agree with you.
Everything looks so promising for a while.
That's
too.
What we're saying. I mean, there's so much talent. It's just like, what are they doing?
You know what though? TNA right now, and for their history, they're always going to be a 1.0 company. I don't think they're ever going to do any better. I don't think they're ever going to do any worse, no matter what they put on TV.
No,
we had the same conversation months ago. We'll have the same conversation months from now.
And the crazy thing is, like, I've read accounts from fans, same thing for years. What a great experience it is going to see TNA at a live show. I heard they're very they're fan friendly. They offer these insane packages to get pictures with the guys, meet and greets, and they spend time with you. And like, there's a real connection there between the fans.
And the
workers, yeah. But aside from that, like, everything else is just kind of there.
That only gets you so far.
It only gets you so far.
That only gets you so far. And I agree 100% that they're – because everyone wants the same thing. The workers, the fans, they all want it to be better than it is. They all
and
want it to be great.
Not. And another thing that's a common thing that everyone says is Dixie Carter is a very, very nice woman.
Right.
But
she's bamboozled.
That's where it stops, though.
She's bamboozled.
She, yeah. I mean, look who she's got. She's got Hogan and Bischoff in her ear.
Yeah.
God knows who else is in her ear at that place.
I don't even know. I mean, Bruce Pritchard, I think, has a big role there.
Yeah.
Brother
and,
Love.
And that's another thing. They picked up a guy that has WWF experience for 30 years. Nothing. They pick up Hulk Hogan. Nothing. They had Flair. Nothing.
Actually, Hogan's biggest claim was the night they went up against Raw Monday night. I think they wound up pulling like a 1-4 or a 1-5.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, and then that was it. The next
and that
week,
show was the shits.
Oh, that fucking Birdcage opening was just terrible.
Oh, poor Homicide. Poor Homicide. The Birdcage opening, bringing in Val Venus and putting him over Christopher Daniels.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
No one wants to see that.
Nasty boys.
Yeah, but didn't they also bring in Jim Neidhart and put Jim Neidhart over somebody else?
No.
They put him over Jay Lethal.
Did they put him over Jay Lethal?
When Lethal was battling Legends.
They put him over
Jay Lethal? They put Tatanka over Jay Lethal, too.
So Jay Lethal did the opposite. He did the Heath Slater before Heath Slater did the Heath Slater.
Yeah, they did the gimmick before Heath Slater did the gimmick.
I thought he went over on all those guys. I didn't realize he lost.
No, he lost. He jobbed him out. Just like Heath Slater lost on Monday.
Poor Heath Slater.
Poor
He's
Heath
a three-man
Slater.
Band.
He's a three-man band.
Slater sucks.
You know, apparently the three-man band was all their idea.
That's
well,
why
I mean,
probably getting
you got to
married.
Have something. You got three guys not doing a goddamn thing. I
well,
mean, I would, they, I would pitch it,
probably,
too.
They probably travel together.
Well, that's what
friends.
They did. They're friends. They travel together, and they said, hey, put us together. And the creative actually, in a fucking rare display of, like, tokenism, was just like, yeah, okay, sure.
We'll just job you out all the time. But
yeah, but at least they get
well,
to work.
Well, Sheamus beat you all three yeah. one night.
Sheamus.
No problem.
Hilarious.
Good. There was a sign Sheamus. On Raw that said, don't hinder gender.
That's awesome.
It got on TV. That was a good
Should
sign.
I call Dipshit?
Yeah, now that we've talked about everything.
Yeah, let's call Pizza Man.
What's going on? What's he going to say? What's up, freaks?
You watch.
What's up, freaks?
Hello? What's up?
I'm at fucking work.
What's up, fuckers?
I'm delivering pizzas. My name's Pete.
Oh, God, he's not going to answer.
He's such a hump.
What's up, you freaks?
I win.
Eddie
wins.
Wow. What's
you
going
win.
On, dude?
You keep fucking eating like a slob. You're going to end up like James Gandolfini.
Oh. Hey, actually, we're going to get... I think we're going to reach out to a Tugboat, and we might do an entire episode just on The Sopranos.
Yeah. He was great.
He actually, we knew the news while we were talking to him, and then he broke it to us. He's like, you know, James Gandolfini died, and we just started talking Sopranos. It was hilarious.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So what do you want?
Nothing. What's going on? I was going to join the show.
How's your pizza day?
Hey, it was uneventful. It was busy.
Did you guys get the awning fixed on the pizza truck yet?
Not yet. I
Crazy taxi pants.
Sometime soon.
Is that coming out of tip money?
No. The insurance is taking care
it's,
of it.
It's coming out of Rhiannon's top drawer.
The man.
That's where she keeps her money.
In a bra?
No, we took our money and we spent it on a vacation.
Oh.
Where are you going?
We're going to Disney World.
Oh, look at you.
Look at this guy. He thinks he fucking, yeah, the Mets haven't won a World Series in like 30 years. What are you celebrating?
Well, if they're not going to Disney World, he's got
to go. November. Jerk off. Calm yourself.
Jerk off.
Jerk off.
Why is the Skype been doing that all night?
How you doing?
We're good. We broke the news to Kevin.
Kevin is officially the fourth Shining Wizard.
How do you feel about that, Kev?
I feel goddamn great about it. And
dude, you could pick up my slacks and something.
Nah, hey, listen.
Well, yeah, Eddie Maybe and I were going to talk to you about that.
What? Yeah, we're going to have to let you go.
Oh,
all good things come to an end. The experience, you take it with you.
Would you consider that good?
We live and we learn. No, but we did come up with a contest that whoever puts in the most money towards a Kevin Grifo Shining Wizards shirt gets to pick the number and what it says on the back.
Nice.
Anything. Could be
yeah,
anything.
So we just figured Lopez is in for $2 and he's going to fucking name him Barriqua. Yeah.
2 pesos.
You know, he can't spend fucking $2.
I'm going to end up winning this thing.
Put your own money in, yeah. Just keep an eye on what the total is.
Kevin just wrote a check for $50.
Hey, Matt, did you watch Raw?
I did, actually. It was the first time I've watched Raw in like a month.
Okay, we already went through Raw, but give us your quick synopsis on what you really liked about it.
what I really enjoyed. I liked the Daniel Bryan Orton match until they fucking ended it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like anything Daniel Bryan's been doing on TV lately.
No arguments here.
The CM Punk Paul Heyman storyline and then Brock at the end is like fucking perfect.
It's awesome.
I thought they were gonna do that at WrestleMania. Well, I thought they should have.
Raw was better than WrestleMania.
Mark Henry deserves an Emmy.
Yes.
Yes, he sure as fuck does.
That was awesome.
I bet you he could get nominated for an Emmy. That was a TV
a daytime Emmy award.
Not daytime.
Yeah. Well, night. Well, whatever.
Here's what was weird, right? He went in the ring. He did all that shit, and then he just did the fucking World's Strongest Slam. And he goes in the back, and he looks like he's fucking a watermelon at a Baptist barbecue. He's sweating like a motherfucker.
Because he had that fucking jacket on.
Wait, did we call
Brian? He wasn't sweating in the ring. Like, you couldn't see it while he's doing his whole fucking speech. And then he just does the slam, and he rips off his shirt, and now he's, like, in a fucking overdrive.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Sometimes they shoot backstage segments before the show. So I guess they might have said, all right, he's probably going to be sweaty after he does this. That might have been previously shot.
Yeah, but I'm sure nobody fucking noticed, but I don't know why I noticed. I was like, man, he's fucking sweaty. He wasn't that sweaty before.
He's a giant man.
He is a big man.
He's a big man.
He is a big man. Did you see Caitlyn's nipple?
I did see Caitlyn's nipple. That was exciting.
That was exciting. How about that?
Ugh.
How about that?
They look like the top of fucking baby bottles.
Yeah, they do, right? Yeah.
Like, I know they're called nipples, but they were like legit fucking.
They were like nipples.
I am.
Yo, man, those nipples, man, they were like nipples.
Yo, they were nipples.
They were
yo.
Like nipples, dude.
Big chewy nipples.
They were like legit nipples.
We didn't.
I love the Wyatt promos, the Wyatt family promos.
Yes, yes, fantastic.
Hey, Mr. 420's coming back.
I know. I saw that. That's fucking awesome too.
Mr. Cesaro is a We the People.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad they stuck him in some kind of stable, and maybe that's the direction they're going in. Who knows?
It's crazy how they pulled it together in just one show. And this just goes to show all the haters on Facebook that say we're so negative towards WWE that if it's good, we'll say it's good.
Did any of you guys see the pay-per-view?
No.
No, I didn't either.
But, heard everything was actually good up until the main event. And then Super Cena fucking puts Ryback through the ceiling of the fucking ambulance.
Well, whatever.
Hey, you want to play?
Ryback on Raw?
Nope, no Ryback.
See, now Ryback...
Selling?
No, Ryback needs time off TV to fucking recover from the burial, I think.
Yeah, he
does Rob Van Dam come back and take his fucking tights right off of him?
Yes. Maybe they're the same person.
Ooh.
Like Big Mama's house?
Feed me more.
Hey, you want to play FMK?
We already did.
No, sure. Him.
Oh, you already did? Did you guys talk about that little kid killing his fucking sister?
We just did.
Yeah, we blame TNA.
Yes, it was Dixie Carter's fault.
Have you been keeping up with TNA? Because we haven't.
No.
Well, that's
just weird.
Well, I watch it, but it's at the bar, so I don't have any sound, so I have no clue actually what's going on. But I do have it on.
Aces and Eights bores the hell out of me.
You're probably better off.
Yeah. Aces and Eights.
I like how Kevin says he needs the sound to figure out what's going on TNA.
I really
don't, but you never know. But that's a mistake. Like, they shouldn't. Like, you can watch Raw and not hear a thing Mark Henry's saying and know what's going on.
Oh, I knew. That I saw a mile away.
Yeah. That's true. It's very true.
No, but not saying that it wasn't bad. It was very, well, very, very, very well done.
Yeah, but you wouldn't need the sound. Like, if you looked up at the screen, you could tell something big was happening,
But when fucking Brooke Hogan's talking, who the fuck knows what kind of trash is coming out of her mouth?
Just trash.
So,
just dicks, yeah. Dicks, wrestlers, dicks.
Come. dicks, come.
Oh, you know what I did have a problem
knobs,
with?
Blah! With TNA. Was they brought Crimson back.
And jobbed him.
And jobbed him to Joseph Park. And Crimson had an awesome new look, kind of almost like We the People, Jack Swagger. She wore like the camo and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, Crimson's getting. And then all of a sudden, he just jobs to Joseph Park, and I think it was a Bound for Glory series.
That's like Vince Russo MO. Like,
yeah.
You fucking polish up a guy, make him new, make him this and that, and then job him out in his first match.
Did I tell you guys the story that Kevin Matthews told me about how he sent his tapes into TNA? And they actually called him back and said, sorry, we already have Crimson.
Oh, I think he told us that story.
Yeah, because they look, I guess they look similar. I don't know. Poor.
They do kind of look alike, actually.
Crimson, I was never a fan anyway.
I always thought I always thought he could be better, but they just...
I don't know. I put him in Matt Morgan category. Just big.
Oh, I agree, too.
You know, just whatever. Who cares? Whatever.
Gingers have no soul.
Gingers do not have a soul.
I forgot he was a ginger.
He is a ginger.
I don't trust him.
Is SoCal Val a ginger?
Yes.
She has no nose. I think Seamus kicked it off her face.
Yeah, her face is odd, isn't it?
It's the nose.
It's like God forgot to build it, you know? It's like he just like got distracted while building her face and then just threw it in the mom's belly. And when she came out, he was all like, oh, fuck.
It's like she was supposed to be one of those kids that you see on TV that need like the cleft palate fixing.
Yeah.
Except it was a little higher on her face. So she still looks sort of normal.
Donate the most money to this kid with the cleft palate, and we will choose. And you can choose a number and name on the back of his T-shirt.
No,
she's almost like Rocky Dennis, but not quite.
No, come on, dude. Let's not go that far.
What if you're the fucking PWS fangirls are gonna fucking buy Kevin's shirt for him?
Oh, and it's probably gonna say Sign Girls on the back.
Dude, if they'd put Sign Girls on your shirt, I would laugh all fucking day.
Yeah.
Yeah, four Sign Girls, $4.69.
Well,
all day.
What did I say before? I did the 469. What was whatever?
Oh, Dixon Mouth 469.
Yes,
something
I think
that
was Brooke's shirt.
Cock.
Penis. Cum. Balls.
Penis. Brian Knobs.
Brian Knobs.
Brian Knobs digging my ass.
Wait. Brian Knobs is the one with the gaping asshole, right?
Yeah, we made all our announcements. We played the sound clips, and yeah. That's about it.
We talked about the sixth show. We talked about the network. We welcomed Kevin abroad. Yes.
We had Tugboat on. He did some toots.
Yes.
He told some great stories.
I did some toots.
Yeah, Tony tooted a little bit too.
Yeah, Tony's tooted.
For that asshole that hates us.
Any news? Any news? Huh?
He didn't have to walk the dog at any point?
No, no. We had an hour and 20 out of him.
Damn.
Yeah, dude.
Did you get a liner?
Yes. Yeah, but we laughed all over it.
It's still great, though.
It's funny. It's really funny.
Because it sounded like he called us the Raining Wizards.
No, he called us the Shining Blizzards.
Or something like that.
But he did it on purpose. Like, I thought he messed up, so I started cracking up.
Yeah, I know. I thought he messed up, too.
But he did it to go with the Typhoon. Or some shit like that.
I don't know. It was funny. Either way, it's definitely usable. But he did it as Tugboat.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah.
I can't wait to fucking hear it.
Huh. Do you have any news for us, wrestling-wise?
No.
That sounded so sad.
Oh, we do have something very important to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Brace yourself. You ready?
I'm ready.
You just hung up on him?
Of course I did. Oh, Jesus.
Oh. Aye.
Oh, fuck me. That's hilarious.
I can't even hear myself in the microphone.
No,
anymore.
That's all right. I think I turned the monitor off.
We'll turn it back on.
I can't. I don't know what happened.
What'd you do?
I don't know. Oh, there we go.
There we are.
Okay.
We are back.
Okay, I guess it's plug time.
Plug time.
We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Come check out our new network, swn.shiningwizards.com. We got the Neckbreaker Boys. We've got Phil Rea doing the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We've got the Midnight Jury. We've got the Fallen Angels. We've got Wrestling 101 with Justin Credible. And, of course, your boys, the Shining Wizards. ShiningWizards.com. Be a mark by the shirt. We've only got a few shirts left, so make sure you fucking buy one. We need the money. We need to raise money to buy Kevin a new shirt. Donate money to us. Top donator. I hope it's not fucking Lopez with like a dollar. Top donator gets to put the name and the number on the back of Kevin's shirt. That should be a good time. Handsome Dan's Lopez, Handsome Dan's Last Word. Who else? The Nerd Herders.
Midnight Jury,
we already plugged.
Go to PJ Polacco's Facebook page or Justin Credible fan page and check out Pro Wrestling 101, his YouTube show, which you will be able to find on our network soon.
Yes, and Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment, CWERadio.com. The Shining Wizards are also housed there.
Housed.
Check out all their shows. It's awesome, awesome, awesome.
Special thank you once again to Fred Ottman.
Fred Ottman, the tugboat man.
Guest.
The Tugger.
Typhoon.
The Tugger.
You think they used to call him Tugger? Tugger?
Old Tugger.
Old Tugger. Holy shit, he could be perverted Uncle Fred, the Old Tugger.
Yeah.
I love Uncle
that's
Fred.
That's our fucking Atunga Bunga for the week.
What?
Uncle Fred, the Old Tugger.
Uncle Fred, the Old Tugger.
Come here and sit down on the couch next to your Uncle Fred.
We should do another Sopranos retrospective with him. Have him on.
That was fucking sad news tonight.
I know.
I guess they're not going to make a Sopranos movie.
Well, not anymore.
Well, maybe then Tony died at the end of the Sopranos.
I guess he had to.
Eddie, do we have a closing number?
Well, in honor
of the recently departed.
Oh,
I choose
no.
a song.
I thought he was going to say Tugboat. I'm like, what? He just hung up. Yeah, he didn't die.
He didn't go, no, thought, not him.
I thought
go
we were going to play the Tugboat theme.
No, not the Tugboat theme. It should. It was going to be the Tugboat theme.
Tugboats. No, just click to continue. The bottom. No, yeah, the bottom. The bottom. No, no, no.
Where?
Click to activate the Adobe Flash plugin.
Oh,
right
neato.
There. Yeah, don't click check for updates.
Laptop sucks.
Well, welcome aboard, Kevin.
Thank you, guys.
Our official new fourth member.
Outstanding.
Make sure you harass Kevin on the Facebook page. He's going to have Shining Wizards Kevin before, unless somebody steals it listening to this.
Don't do that.
And good night, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.